with a low in the lower 70s. And then on Wednesday, hot and humid, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, under cloudy, hazy conditions, we have 77 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 77 as well. Stay tuned for the award-winning wake-up call with your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 6 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
This is the sound of an AK-47 being fired at you. This is the sound of a rocket-propelled grenade headed your way. This is the sound of a bullet ricocheting off your helmet. This is the sound of an anti-personnel landmine exploding underneath you. This is the sound of a car bomb exploding less than a block away. And this?
These people don't want George W. Bush to become the president.
That's the sound of people who have never heard these sounds arguing about something they know absolutely nothing about. Maybe we should start listening to the people who were there. Go to optruth.org to find out how you can really help support our troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. Operation Truth. We were there.
For Paralyzed Veterans of America, Montel Williams.
The events of the last few years and the war on terrorism have made us all think more seriously about the service, the sacrifice, and the care of Americans' veterans. Paralyzed Veterans of America is dedicated to ensuring that veterans with spinal cord injury or disease receive the best quality health care and benefits which they've earned. PVA funds research and education for the care and cure of paralysis, and they're leading the fight for civil rights and opportunities that maximize the independence of paralyzed veterans and all people with disabilities. I'm proud to support Paralyzed Veterans of America, and you can also help. For information, you can call toll-free 1-866-USA-4PVA. 1-866-USA-4PVA. Paralyzed Veterans of America, creating a better tomorrow.
Sometimes it's so boring at home when I'm sick. I'm so lonely.
What do you do at home when you're sick?
Check out patchworks.org.
What's that?
Patchworks.org. P-A-T-C-H-W-O-R-X. I've made so many new friends there.
Patchworks is a support community on the web for kids ages 5 to 18 who have illnesses, medical challenges, or disabilities. There are games to play and a show-and-tell section for your artwork and stories.
There's also a bulletin board, fun contests, and daily chat rooms.
Yeah, my mom checked it out when she signed me up. She knows I'm always safe when I'm chatting because an adult is always moderating.
Soon you will be able to visit Patchworks in Spanish. So check out Patchworks, PATCHWORX.org.
Don't forget, it's free, fun, and on the web.
I have three children, and I've been raising my 16-year-old sister.
Mary Gallagher and her family shared a two-bedroom apartment with eight people. Now Habitat for Humanity is helping her build a simple, decent, affordable home of her own.
When we first found out that we were getting a Habitat home, it was like a dream. I kept saying, don't anybody wake me up.
Not only is Mary helping build her own home, she'll buy it with a no-profit, zero-interest mortgage to keep it affordable.
Habitat came out and built my home, and when Mary started building her house, I wanted to come out and give a hand.
We're not just building Mary's house, we're building a neighborhood.
There's several more to be built this year, and I look forward to working on each of their houses and seeing the joy of their face when they open the door to their brighter future.
Habitat for Humanity. Building homes, changing lives. Support the work in your community. Visit habitat.org.
I feel very blessed. God has answered all of my prayers. We are home.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell my brother, help me listen. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell my brother, help me listen.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that the blow that the blow made.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man: tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal dignity.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways. Get up. Get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com, 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 any kind of, you know the drill. And don't forget, we are broadcasting live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. If you want to check out the show that you missed last week, that's all right. You can do that. Go to whiterosesociety.org. WhiteRoseSociety.org. If you missed an hour, go get an hour. You can pick that up right there. We're archived daily. Now, I just have to have a chat with y'all this morning because I don't normally like to start my Mondays like this. I don't like to start my week off like this. But I'm gonna share something. I am going to confess to y'all this morning. Yes, I am. I'm going to enter the confessional. the wake-up call, pull the curtain closed, open, and confess. I don't understand. I don't understand. I am confused. I am lost. I'm almost speechless. Y'all need to be patient with me this morning as I struggle through understanding, as I try to get to understanding. Donald Rumsfeld said, and I quote, coalition forces, foreign forces, are not going to repress the insurgency in Iraq. Huh? He said that defeating the insurgency may take up to 12 years. He sees an escalation of violence between now and December, and coalition forces are not going to stop. Here's one of the final things that he said. We are going to create an environment that the Iraqi people and the Iraqi security forces can win against that insurgency. Can I just ask a question? Because it's just me, and again, I'm confessing to you that I don't understand. Can I just ask this question, and help me if you can, but was there an insurgency there before we got there? There wasn't an insurgency before we got there. So we got there. We created an environment for an insurgency. And now you're saying it ain't our job to clean it up. Somebody else is going to have to clean it up. Trillions of dollars into this plot of land the size of California. Over 1,000 Americans dead. Thousands and thousands of Americans, thousands of Americans wounded. Tens of thousands of Americans' lives irreparably altered for the negative. And we're being told that we're not going to stop what is happening there. Somebody else is going to stop what is happening there. And it is going to take 5, 6, 8 from 8 he went to 10, from 10 he went to 12 years. So these are the numbers that he gave, 5, 6, 8, 10, 12 years. So it won't be 7 years and it won't be 9 years. We know that. Ain't that something? Donald Rumsfeld, with looking us straight in the face, dead in the face, although squinty-eyed, but it's dead in the face, squinty-eyed, turned-up nose, attitude beyond attitude, saying, we can't stop this stuff we started. Somebody else is going to have to stop it, and it's going to take 6, 8, 10, 12 years. We don't have trillions of dollars for a 6, 8, 10, 12 year journey. episode. We don't have that kind of money for an experiment on a plot of land the size of California. He said we can't stop them. Somebody else that is not trained to stop them will. Now understand, we got to face this. There is no Iraqi army. There is no Iraqi army. Let's be clear. There is no Iraqi army. We haven't trained them, and the ones that we have taken the guns and have gone home to join their friends to fight us. The ones that remain are being picked off by other Iraqis. The ones that remain are kind of being used for intelligence. Oh, I trust that they're giving us some good intelligence. That's money well spent. So we don't have a trained Iraqi military / army. We don't have that. And I don't care if we spend 5, 6, 8, 10, 12 years. We ain't going to have one. But just assume that at the end of this miraculous 12-year period, we finally have a trained military of Iraqi people. What happens in year 10, year 9, year 8, year 7, year 6, year 5, year 4, year 3? We've already spent 2. They are going to... Coalition forces are not going to end this. The Iraqi people are going to repress it. And here's what America is going to do. We're going to create an environment that the Iraqi people and the Iraqi security forces can win against that insurgency. Let me just, again, y'all, I don't know everything. I don't have all the answers, and I'm coming to you in my confessional booth of the wake-up call this morning to say, I don't understand. Grant me clarity, a vision. Donald Rumsfeld says that the United States is going to create an environment that the Iraqi people and the Iraqi security forces can win against that insurgency. If y'all can do that, why don't you just get rid of them now? If you can create the environment to make it happen, why don't you just make it happen now? Does that make sense? If the United States can create an environment that somebody else can get rid of the problem in Iraq, why don't we do it now? And understand where we are. There are two other things that are going on, and I think that you need to view these extraordinary statements by Donald Rumsfeld. Last week, we had women soldiers killed, at least 6. At least 6. A suicide car bomb and ensuing small arm fire killed at least 2 Marines and 4 others were missing, presumed dead. At least 1 woman was killed. 11 of the 13 wounded were female. Where does that leave us? It leaves us to the words of wisdom from George W. Bush. It's hard to stop suicide bombers. It's hard to stop these people that in many cases are being smuggled into Iraq from outside of Iraq. Well, baby, if you can't stop it with $12 trillion, if you can't stop it with the best that the United States has to offer, you ain't never going to stop it. It's hard work, he says. the American people are responding to this hard work. They're saying that, and I quote, "Americans overwhelmingly oppose reenlistment of the military draft, a reinstatement of the military draft, and most say they wouldn't encourage their children to enlist in the service either." If this thing's going on for 12 years, who are we going to be sending there? Who are we going to be sending there? "We're not going to fix this," says Donald Rumsfeld. "Somebody else is going to fix it." George Bush says it's hard work. That means that nothing is going to be done except for your money is going to be spent. Whew, my name is Liz Brown. We have a lot to do. We're going to take a break. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Watching Martin Luther King, who had a dream. Oh, so take this dream and apply it to your life. Even though we know the ghetto's rah-rah, but we got to keep your head up.
I'll keep your head up.
'Cause a new day will come. And love to the sun, even in the darkness, shall.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Granite Works. Eastbound 70 at Blanchett Bridge. Major road construction crews have shifted the work zone from the left to the right. The two left lanes will now be open for through traffic. The far right lanes will be dedicated entrance lanes from southbound 5th Street. Traffic is backed up to 94 at this hour. Northbound 55 between Butler Hill and Germania. Expect normal traffic for your Monday commute. Eastbound 44 between Bowles and Sappington. No problems to report there. Eastbound 40 between Clarkson, Olive, and Lindbergh. Traffic is flowing freely this hour. Westbound 270 from 367 all the way to Graham Hanley. No problems to report there. Northbound 270 from Tessan Ferry to Doherty Ferry. Everything's running smoothly. And now let's take a look at your bridge approaches. Westbound 5570 onto the Poplar Street Bridge is flowing freely. Westbound 64 to 5570 merge. Look for no problems to report there. Westbound King Bridge traffic from the Illinois side all the way into Laclede's Landing. Everything is on the move. Park Avenue at Compton, there are restrictions as fire crews are flushing debris from the roadway. And Lindbergh at 55, those traffic lights are not working. They are on red flash at this hour. Sour's traffic has been sponsored by the Granite Works. Granite countertops and significant value and beauty to any home. And they are only $38 a square foot installed from Granite Works. You can't go wrong. Call 862-6300. That's 862-6300. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, Wednesday. Partly cloudy with a high in the lower 90s today. Partly cloudy this evening, low around 70. Tuesday, partly cloudy, high in the lower 90s. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy still with a lower in the lower 70s. And then on Wednesday, hot and humid, partly cloudy with a high in the mid to upper 90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 77 degrees under hazy, cloudy conditions. Lambert Field has 77 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Hey, guys. Johnny B. Jackson here. Ready for some lively debate, stuff you won't hear anywhere else? Join my partner, Robbie the Carp, and me this Thursday night, 11 to midnight, right here on WGNU. You won't believe what they're doing with our paper money these days. You just won't believe it. Join us for our inaugural broadcast of the Jackson & Jackson comedy program this Thursday night at 11, right here on WGNU.
To me, summer is family time, a time to spend with the kids doing stuff we all love to do, which is why we go to Worlds of Fun. That and the fact that they have lots of coasters. Mamba, Timberwolf, Spinning Dragons, Boomerang. I like to ride them all. Miller's World of Fun has stuff for the kids, too. Mine loved the new Peanuts Playhouse at Camp Snoopy. They played and played, took a little break, and then played and played some more. Then, if we need to cool off, we go to Oceans of Fun, where we ride the water slides, Typhoon and Diamond Head, and then the tube ride, Caribbean Cooler, Aruba Tuba, and Hurricane Falls. And finally, the wave pool. Another great thing is we can stay the night at the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort. Talk about easy.
Worlds of Fun and Oceans of Fun. Do one park or do both with the ride and slide ticket.
It's so cool.
Open daily. Make reservations for the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort or book your Joe Cool's Backyard Barbecue at worldsoffun.com.
What's on the mind of today's teenagers? Find out on T3 Talk Totally for Teens. Log on at WGNU.net.
We are people of all ages, from different walks of life. We have hopes and dreams that live in a reality filled with pain. We are the family and friends of alcoholics. We struggle to keep the peace, to make things right. But our lives are not our own. They are controlled by someone else's drinking. We may be different, but we have one thing in common. We want our lives back. If you need help, call Al-Anon and Alateen at 1-888-4-Al-Anon or visit our website at www.alanon.alateen.org. To help them, you have to help yourself first.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways, get up, get to me. We have much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call. Car phone.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
Two things. It's quite a, you know, I'm wondering what could we have done with that money over here in this country with our education infrastructure and health care and the shambles that it is in our economy, overall economy, as well as we have our leader using two syllables to describe this monstrosity job that we're doing over there. Hard work.
Isn't that something?
That is sinful. And this is, and then we heard that during the election. This is hard work.
It's hard work. It's hard work. It's hard work.
That must be his big, the biggest words he can come up with. Two syllables. And I'm wondering how many times, you know, he's going to say this tomorrow during his so-called speech tomorrow to let the American people know how well that.
Well, I think it's interesting, caller. I think that it is so interesting that. That this administration believes that the way that they can get the American people to sign on to this abomination that is going on in Iraq is to give a speech. A speech is not going to change the minds and the hearts and the poll numbers of anybody. A speech is not going to do that. What are you going to bring to the American people? Are you going to bring a message that we're winning the war? I've heard that Donald Rumsfeld is meeting with the insurgency. Now, the insurgency is the enemy, right? So, and they created this new government, right? So if you created a new government, why are you discussing and strategizing with the insurgency?
And guess what George Bush told them to do? several years ago. Bring it on. What did
yes,
you tell him to do that?
Yes, yes, he did. Yes, he did.
You tell him to bring it on.
Yes, well, they did.
You told him to do.
They well, and, they did. They
and
did.
And lastly, you always talk about word choice. I was watching the news the other day, and they were talking about the audible rate of these women tennis players. When they hit the ball, they kind of scream.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said, the white girl, she screams like a hacksaw or something. But they said the sister screams like a garbage disposal. You see that? You see? And it's so subliminal and so subtle. But they think that stuff just goes over our head. If I want to let them know, it doesn't. But you talk about all that. The word choice is what's most important around here. So I just thought I would let you know that.
Thank you so much. All right. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Car phone. Ron.
Yes. Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I read something over the weekend about Donald Rumsfeld and some of the other congresspersons. When they visit Iraq, they don't use the Humvees. They use a vehicle provided by Halliburton because they feel that it's a lot more safer. Now, we're always talking about...
Wait a minute. Slow down just for a second. Just for a second. I want what you're saying to sink in. Donald Rumsfeld doesn't go to war with the army, the military he has, right? He does not go to war with the military that we have.
Right. He borrows a vehicle from Halliburton.
Ain't that a blip?
And it's a beefed up vehicle that has special carriage that will deflect the bombs, and it's a lot heavier. And some of the congressmen, they use the same thing. Now, my question is, we're always talking about keeping the morale up of the troops. If I was over there and I saw that, that would put my morale in the tanks. Because
absolutely.
He's talking about... You go to war with what you have.
That's
like
right.
Said, he does not.
He does so, not.
I just wanted to let.
He sure as heck doesn't. This. He sure as heck doesn't go to war with what we have, does he?
No, he does not.
All That's right now. Thanks. Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. Another car phone. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
How are you?
Well, Ms. Brown, a couple of months ago, General Motors did a 0% interest. Well, Ms. Brown, now they're saying that we can get their discount. Now they say, Ms. Brown, that the economy is good. Is it really good, Ms. Brown? Are they really doing good? They're talking about laying 27,000 members of their employees off. They're going to give us their discount.
Well, yeah, I guess they don't have the employees that are going to take the discounts anymore, so they might as well give away.
Ms. Brown, we need to wake up.
It ain't good out here.
Not good
it
at
ain't
all.
Good out here. Take care of yourself. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Yes. Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Korean veteran, good morning.
Ms. Brown, you know, I told you when this thing first started after 9-1-1, I said that this war would destabilize the area. Didn't I tell you that?
Mm-hmm.
This morning I heard from the BBC, the British were talking about, they was asking them about pulling out. And the people spoke from the British say they don't have the men and the money to sustain or stay over there. And also...
We don't either.
No, I know we don't. Mm-hmm. And then also I saw this fellow, Scott Ritter, who was one of the inspectors about the weapons of mass destruction. He put some news on Al Jazeera, and they wanted to ask him about why did he put it on Al Jazeera. He said that during the first war with them, that Iran, that Rumsfeld and Cheney told Iran to develop their nuclear capabilities. And now Iran has got a new president over there, which is more radical. You know that, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
And so what I'm saying, it was Cheney and Rumsfeld that told Iran that they should upgrade their nuclear capacity. And now Israel is wondering about, they probably want to preempt and bomb them. So I just would like to speak to you this morning.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. It has been said from UN officials that because Iran is developing their, you know, they said it's their right as a country. You can't tell me that I can't develop nuclear weapons. You can't. And UN members are concerned. And they don't know what they're going to do if Iran continues to develop their nuclear capabilities. And one of the words that actually came out their mouth, two words actually, preemptive strike. Who's going to do that? Who's going to preemptively strike Iran? These are crazy times, folks. These are crazy times. My name is Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. We're taking a break. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-9468 or 454-0400. That's area code 314. Ain't I good to you? I'll be back.
There's nothing too good for a boy, that's so true. Gee, baby, ain't I good to you?
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline, Addis Ababa. Some 2,700 people arrested following violent election protests in June have now been released. Federal officials say the offenses were minor and did not deserve to be prosecuted. Police shot and killed 36 people earlier this month when thousands took to the streets to protest alleged parliamentary election fraud in May. Final results from those elections have still not been made known because of the continuing investigations into the fraud allegations. The ruling Ethiopian People's Revolutionary Democratic Front claimed it won a majority, but the opposition is disputing those results. And Dateline London. A report in the Sunday Times says the American general who commanded Allied air forces during the Iraq War has admitted that coalition aircraft conducted a secret air war against Iraq some 9 months before the invasion actually took place. Lieutenant General Michael Mosley said in a briefing that during 2002 and early 2003, some 21,700 sorties were flown and over 600 bombs were dropped on nearly 400 carefully selected targets during the 9 months leading up to the actual invasion. Mosley said this softening up of the enemy meant that Allied forces did not have to go on and take out positions that posed the most threat as the battle began. The raids were kept supposedly legal because they were declared necessary to maintain the no-fly zones in the southern and northern portions of the country, as well as to protect the ethnic minorities. The briefing the general spoke at was held at a Nebraska air base in July of 2003. His remarks also indicated that the British Air Force had as much of a role in those bombings as did the Americans. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
Play jazz in heaven. In New Orleans, we know they do.
If your family hasn't been to New Orleans, y'all haven't lived. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com to plan your trip to Six Flags New Orleans, Audubon Zoo, Aquarium of the Americas, and more. Hop on the new canal streetcar line, see gators up close, and roll in a riverboat down the mighty Mississippi. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com today for great hotel rates and a free good times guide with more than $2,400 in coupons. And jazz up your family's next vacation in New Orleans.
You know, if there's a paradise, it's an afternoon in Jackson Square. Cause if they play jazz in heaven, darling, it's standing room only up there.
NewOrleansOnline.com, happening every day.
As we grow older, we begin to feel twinges in places that never bothered us before. Back, neck, shoulder, leg, you know how it goes. A new program is coming to WGNU to help you deal with whatever condition is bugging you. Join us beginning this Saturday, June 18th, for The Adjustment Zone, hosted by Dr. Shane May and Craig Scooby. It's a live call-in question and answer program dealing with chiropractic medicine and general health issues. Don't miss The Adjustment Zone every Saturday afternoon at 3, right here on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Is your church, school, or nonprofit organization holding an upcoming event, or does it have an ongoing program?
We can help you get the word out free of charge here at WGNU. Just send a flyer or written information to WGNU Radio, Public Service Department, 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri, 63108. We ask 2-week lead time for any upcoming event. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject any submission due to content and time considerations.
New state-of-the-art technology has made it possible to offer copies of programs heard on WGNU to the listening audience at a lower cost. If there is a specific program you are interested in having for your personal library, we can now make it available to you at a cost of $25 per hour. Please make a check or money order payable to WGNU Radio, 265 Union, St. Louis, 63108. Please specify the time, day, and particular topic, and allow 10 days delivery. All program recordings are subject to availability.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Boom, peck, boom, peck. I want a rim shot, hey. Diggy, diggy, a rim shot, hey. Come on, a rim shot, hey. Diggy, diggy, a rim shot, hey. Come
I said I came to hear the
rim shot.
Oh, welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. Car phone.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
You know, I find it highly something, I don't know what you'd call it, but you find it Dick Cheney and Halliburton was caught over there in Iran when there's supposed to be an embargo against that country. They had to pull out and pay a minimum of fines. You find out Donald Rumsfeld, he was on the board to help sell and develop the nuclear reactors of North Korea. We find out, you know, the United States' involvement of leading up to this Iraq war goes all the way back to the 80s. No telling what they were selling to him back then. You go back to Iran-Contra, and we all know what they were up to then. They got caught. And I just don't see how the American people can see how, you know, they create these monsters, then they send our people over there to clean the stuff up.
And then they say that we can't clean it up, and it's going to be their job to clean it up.
Well, I don't see why some of these people aren't up for domestic treason, because they have been trading with the enemy for so long that I think in a lot of ways they have become the enemy. Thank you very much.
Thanks for your call, 454-0400. David from San Diego, good morning.
No, it's not San Diego, Liz. It's David out in San Francisco.
Yeah, sorry.
Hey, morning. I just read what's
in front of me. Sorry.
Well, I'm only 500 miles north.
There you go.
You know, I haven't spoken with you in a long time.
Yes.
Greetings, St. Louis. You know, I was just reading a little article that has come out here. Apparently it's making its way out nationwide. Apparently the U.S. troops are putting weapons, guns and whatnot, in the hands of dead teenagers and declaring that these kids are enemy combatants. And so they're trying to create some rumor that this insurgency is much bigger than it is, or, you know, God knows what they're, you know, true motives are with it. I guess when they kill a kid accidentally, they've got to salve their consciences by putting guns in their hands.
Kind of like a throwdown type of a weapon thing?
Beg pardon?
Like a throwdown?
Oh, yeah, exactly, exactly. And so this was an old technique that they used back in Vietnam as well. You know, when they would go, what was it, the My Lai massacre that Colin Powell was so involved in. They killed over 500 people, you know, men, women, and children, and they had to declare that they were enemy combatants back then, you know, as if these people in Vietnam were going to come 6,000 miles across the Pacific Ocean in sampans and attack California or something. And so they had to drop all sorts of weapons in their hands, exactly, throw down.
Mm.
So, you know, it sounds like the same, since Colin Powell was deeply involved in this one. The old techniques that were tried and true from Vietnam are still being used today. So it's, you know, we've got to just remember history, and especially when the culprits of 30, 40 years ago are still alive. There's no reason to doubt that these people won't return to their old bad habits and whatnot.
There
hey, one other thing, we had a memorial loss. Famous rock impresario died over the weekend. Chet Helms. He was a great guy. I happened to run into him. When I first came out here from Colorado, I had a small bronze bust of Paul Robeson, and I shopped it around. I was homeless at the time and didn't want to have this bronze stolen out of my car, so I went to some of the galleries around town, and Chet Helms was the art dealer that everybody told me to go to. He liked to work with Afro-American artworks, and so took it up there, put it on consignment, and Chet turned out to have been the person that discovered Janis Joplin. He was the person that founded the Fillmore Theater. He discovered, or he created, essentially, the Summer of Love and a lot of the Human Beings. So he had a stroke early, about a week ago, and finally passed Saturday morning. But it was a real loss. He was a great guy.
How old was he?
Just, what, 62. So.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, he was young, but, you know, he had a full life, an amazingly full life. When I first moved out here, I had taken theater management when I was in Colorado in college, and I had taken this bronze up there, and I would sit, you know, up in his gallery and talk art and this and that and the other, and kind of discovered who he was after a little while. And he mentioned that he was having heart problems and that some friends of his were going to put on a little show for him. I didn't realize that was about when I discovered who he was. And so I got together with this fellow that was going to produce the show. And he said, oh, my God, I'm getting buried alive. All of these people want to play in this, and I'm going to limit it to 24 or 30 acts total in one night. I just can't put on more. By the end of the last note, he had 88 acts perform in in two nights.
Mm.
And I was assigned to try to get George Harrison and Eric Clapton for free, to get them to fly over for free accommodations. They would do it, but they wouldn't. They didn't want to pay a penny for it. So we had to do it entirely without using their names.
Wow.
But it was amazing. There were 88 acts that played, and so it was a real honor to know him. But yeah, he's inspired so many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of different people. We had lately, I've been working with a little internet radio station, indiebay.org, and just go to indiebay.org, and you'll see the little radio icon. And we put a radio tribute on for him. Last night, had a few different people calling in and whatnot, but
very good.
Yeah,
he will be missed.
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, he came from. He was raised in Texas, but apparently he did some early civil rights organizing in probably the late 50s and early 60s. I think he came out to San Francisco in 62, but in southern Missouri, apparently he was doing some of the organizing for the traveling. Civil rights workers that were going out doing the voting rights campaign. So he had some Missouri roots as well.
Very good. And I got to go, but thank you, David.
No trouble. Good morning, St. Louis.
All right. Juanita, good morning.
Hi, Liz. How you doing?
I'm outstanding.
You know, I think this administration, they think that American people is stuck on stupid.
Yes, ma'am.
They went to some of the congressmen, and they went down there to see how the prisoners were treated. And, of course, they're going to put on the show. They say they give them ice cream on Sunday.
Oh, that's such a lie. That's such a lie.
And they, the food was delicious. Even the reporter said, oh, we ate the food. It was so delicious. And they showed a picture of them having clean clothes folded so neat on their bed. That's how stupid, Ken. If they're going to know they're coming down, of course they're going to put on an act. How stupid can you get?
It is huge. They think we're stuck on stupid.
Exactly. And then you said somebody went undercover and they beat them unmercifully.
That's what I'm talking about.
I said, how stupid can you get?
Yes, ma'am.
I said,
yes,
oh, my
ma'am.
God. They think American people are so stupid.
Stupid. Thanks for your call, Juanita. Listen, folks, I'll be coming back in the next hour to take your call, so stay with us. I will get to you all when I get back. I'm Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. Stay with us.
If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Joan Bennett. An autopsy today in Florida on the 14-year-old girl who was mauled by a shark off the panhandle this weekend. Surfer Tim Dykus tried to rescue Jamie Daigle, pulling her onto his board. Dykus on ABC's Good Morning America.
The major thing with Jamie was she was way too far. And she happened to drift out over the trough that the shark probably was patrolling.
Daigle was visiting from Gonzales, Louisiana. It's the final day of work for the U.S. Supreme Court before the summer break, and some very important decisions could be announced. ABC's Ann Compton with us live from the White House. Ann?
It is high alert this morning, Joan. 89 spectators already waiting in line since before dawn in case of any historic retirement announcements. Chief Justice William Rehnquist missed months on the bench for cancer treatment, but recently friends say he's much stronger. Among the opinions expected, whether the Ten Commandments can be displayed on public property. Joan?
ABC's Ann Compton, live from the White House. Heavy gunfire was heard when a U.S. military helicopter went down north of Baghdad today. Two pilots were aboard the chopper. No word of casualties. From 5 to 3, suspects being held in the disappearance of Natalie Holloway on Aruba. The father of 17-year-old Joran Vandersloot was let go after 5 days in custody, and a party boat disc jockey is being released. Reverend Billy Graham seemed bolstered by his 3-day revival meeting in New York this weekend, which some speculated would be his last major tour. What's he say?
It probably is in New York. But I also said, I never say never.
Reverend Billy Graham preaching to 90,000 at a park near Shea Stadium. Gas prices headed back up. Nationwide survey finds prices jumped an average of 8 cents a gallon over the past couple of weeks to 2.24. This is ABC News.
With all the recent news on prescription pain relievers, you may be asking what's right for you. Talk to your doctor and ask about Advil. The fact is, neither Celebrex nor Vioxx has been proven to be more effective on tough pain than Advil. Advil has been trusted by millions for over 20 years. Ask your doctor if the strong, trusted pain relief of Advil is right for your kind of pain.
Use as directed for occasional pain only. Do not exceed 10 days. Talk to your doctor if pain persists. Brands are trademarks of their respective owners.
My name is Sarah, and when I was about 17, I started Fry Farms. I sold our first load of pumpkins to a local Walmart. And one by one, my brothers came home from college to join me in the business. 10 years later, we're selling millions of cantaloupes, watermelons, and pumpkins that can be found in Walmart stores across the nation. Walmart appreciated the quality of the local produce, and the rural communities have thrived because of our business with Walmart. It makes me feel great. I love it.
Long after their deaths, more tabloid headlines for Princess Di and JFK Jr. ABC's Tom Rivers, the foreign desk in London.
Di confidant Simone Simmons says her longtime friend had a passionate one-night stand with John F. Kennedy Jr. in a plush Manhattan hotel some 10 years ago. Simmons is serializing her latest book on the princess in the Sun tabloid, and more revelations are promised. The author says Diana rated Kennedy 10 out of 10 in bed. Simmons says she kept the saucy secret long enough and now wants the world to know that Diana did find happiness after Charles. Tom Rivers, ABC News, London.
In Wichita, Kansas, the trial of BTK suspect Dennis Rader begins today. He's charged in 10 murders stretching over 3 decades. Michael Jackson thanking his fans, family, and God for helping him get through his child molestation trial. On his website, Jackson says his supporters' ever-present love held him up and carried him through. Joan Bennett, ABC News.
Good morning, I'm Chris Lane, and this WGNU News Report is brought to you by Oster. A St. Louis man is dead after a crossover accident in Franklin County. According to the Missouri Highway Patrol, a car crossed the center line on I-44 near Stanton Saturday evening and collided with a semi. The passenger in that car, 24-year-old Alexander Chekogin, was killed. The driver was airlifted to a St. Louis area hospital. The two people in the semi were also taken to a hospital with less serious injuries. As hot weather continues, health officials are warning people to take precautions to avoid heat stroke and other heat-related illnesses. That's especially true for the elderly. Ann Baines, a spokesperson for St. Andrew's At-Home Services, says the best thing to do is to stay in an air-conditioned room.
Make sure there is ventilation. Also limit their activities. If they are planning to go out, they should go out in the morning or evening, but not in the hot of the day. Another thing that often gets neglected by the older person is their fluid intake and their hydration.
Additionally, Baines suggests people wear loose-fitting, light-colored clothes and take cool baths to beat the heat. 73% of all heat-related deaths are in the elderly population. A solid emergency plan and plenty of practice are credited for the safe evacuation of the St. Louis Praxair building on Friday. No one was hurt in the explosive fire at the facility. Just like schools and businesses have emergency drills, Nancy Bates of the St. Louis area chapter of the American Red Cross says families should have emergency drills. Bates says families need to have two meeting places, one near the home and another outside the neighborhood for more widespread emergencies like Friday's fire. For more information on disaster preparedness, go to www.redcrossstl.org or call 314-516-2800. And finally, parents whose children are in First Step programs now have to pay a fee for their child to participate in the program. Under the new program, private insurance companies will be required to pay a portion of the costs for 3 years for children enrolled in First Steps. Additionally, a participation fee will be issued to parents who can afford it. This fee will be set on a sliding scale based on income. Opponents say the changes hurt Missourians, but a spokesperson for Governor Matt Blunt says the changes ensure long-term savings for taxpayers. Entertaining just got easier with the new Oster Blue Chill Blender. Just pre-freeze the jar and create refreshing frozen drinks. They'll stay icy cold for up to 6 hours, available at Target. That's the news for the 7 o'clock hour. Now here's Howard Morton with a look at traffic.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Walmart. Northbound 55 between Rivers Barracks and Gaston 8. Expect normal traffic for your 7 a.m. commute. Eastbound 44 between Chrysler all the way into Sappington. No problems there. Eastbound 40. From 141 all the way into Brentwood, everything's flowing freely. Westbound 270 at West Florissant, very heavy volume already in your 7 a.m. commute. Northbound 270 is slow on either side of 44. Westbound 255 from Coke to 55, expect normal traffic. Your bridge approaches stack up like this. Westbound 5570 from 4th Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge is slow, especially in the right lanes. Westbound 64 slows from 10th Street all the way to the 5570 split, and westbound Kingbridge traffic from Cleeds Landing, it all looks good this hour. Highway V at Highway W, there's an injury accident in Jeff County, and Jungerman at 94, look for an accident that has been cleared, but you may experience some slight delays. Also, Route 100 near Route B, a report of a cow near the roadway, so use caution as you roll up to that area. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Walmart. The shopping list can look mighty ferocious. Fight back with one-stop shopping at Walmart Supercenters. With services like Tire and Lube Express, getting everything for your family needs at Walmart price has never been easier. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Partly cloudy today with a high in the lower 90s. This evening, partly cloudy with a low around 70. For Tuesday, partly cloudy with a high in the lower 90s. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the lower 70s. And on Wednesday, hot and humid, partly cloudy, high in the mid to upper 90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, under overcast conditions with some haze, we have 79 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 78 and cloudy conditions as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell my brother, how can I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell my brother, how can I say?
Time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
The hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. My email is revolution@lizbrown.com. And if you want to check us out on the World Wide Web, www.wgnu.net, or you can go to the archive at whiterosesociety.org. If you missed an hour, go get an hour. We're archived daily, so you missed an hour of the Wake Up Call, you can go get it at whiterosesociety.org. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Morning, Liz. It's Ike.
Yes, Ike.
I just want to comment on earlier about a guy called about the tennis match between Venus. And I was very ignored when the guy made that remark, but I wasn't surprised because they did it when them girls first came on the circuit. And I'm hoping that someone, maybe a news critic can see that and bring this guy on the carpet because it was unnecessary, what he said.
Mm-hmm.
Because myself, when I boxed, I made sounds, and it just, you just get that energy to do what you got to do.
Well, the comment, and just to bring people up to speed on the what you're commenting on, is that there's some talk circulating in the tennis world that there's maybe they need to ban the noises that a lot of the women tennis players make as they hit the ball. And that's coming from this whole elitist type of attitude that they've had about tennis, that, you know, you only wear certain types of clothes, that only a certain type of person gets in there. And now that tennis is becoming more and more people are getting into the world of tennis, aside from these certain types of people. This is a throwback to that time. The criticism that was leveled at some of the female tennis players. One reporter referred to the sound of the white female tennis player as making some kind of a sound, and then the sound that he said that one of the Williams sisters made was that akin to a garbage disposal.
Yeah, but he just delved in this her situation just more and more than he should, because I watched the whole match. And that Serena was playing.
Well, I have never been able to watch Serena or I've never been able to watch Serena or Venus with the sound up. I always turn the sound down because I don't like the words of the commentators
talking. That's what I had to do, because I was getting infuriated because his father had to check John McEnroe, but I don't know why he was not on the tennis court, but he was in the background talking about different things with his white head self. He was nuts himself. But another thing too, I want to touch on real quick. The direct situation with Rumsfeld. I would land a bib. I had to sit up and hear this buffoon. I said, who is this man think he's talking to? He didn't make any sense. He had that old silly expression. Is that we all lost our minds. It didn't seem to help the insurgency. Now, this man is really confused. I thought Bush was crazy.
Thanks for your call.
Okay,
454-0400 is my phone number. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to start off this conversation with my new mantra, taxation without representation. And I want the listeners, audience, to know I'm going to be saying that every chance I get. I wanted to talk about we had a very, very, very dangerous fire here in St. Louis at the Prax Air Distributors Incorporated. And I was tuned in to listen to something, and then they interrupted my programming. And I watched this fire for about an hour. And the whole time I watched it, I noticed that they had the reporters on the ground, in the air, and the reporters at the studio. They mentioned where this industrial plant was. They said it was at Choteau and Jefferson, that it was near Lafayette Square, but they never mentioned the words South St. Louis. Now, I have noticed in their reporting that they try to keep anything that's supposedly bad happening. They don't report it as coming from, I mean, there's always an exception to the rule, but coming from North St. Louis or the Central West End or downtown, they even contribute things that happen in those areas to North St. Louis. They have things that happen way downtown, crimes, and they report it as being in North St. Louis. And they have had crimes that have happened in the Central West End, and they reported that as happening in the North St. Louis area. Now, I want to ask your listening audience, what do you think that's all about? Do you think that is racism? I believe it is, because it's like they relish in the fact of trying to give North St. Louis a bad name and keeping these other areas clean.
Thanks for your call.
You're welcome.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways you need to get up, you need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up, get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Carolyn, car phone. Car
morning.
Phone, Carolyn. Yes, good morning.
I just wanted to comment on the caller who just called in about the fire over on Shuttle and Jefferson. Actually, St. Louis citizens other than us who are Southsiders refer to that as the near South Side. Just like there's a 12th and Park Recreational Center located down on Tucker and Park Avenue. They consider that to be near South Side also. And I'm a 43-year-old resident of South St. Louis, and I've always grown up in what I consider to be South St. Louis. And as a 43-year-old female, I find out, no, Carolyn, you grew up in the near South Side area. I'm like, there's no such thing. If it's not near South Side, is it near North Side, near West, or what? I just wanted to let the caller know that they did refer to it as South St. Louis. I guess, I don't know if it was the media who wanted to put it out there, specify South St. Louis, but any other time it will be considered near Southside.
Oh, okay.
All right, thank you. Uh-huh. Have a good day.
You too. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. One of the things that has been broadcast time and time again, is this story coming out about Billy Graham's last crusade, as he calls it. And I guess I am kind of curious and looking for kind of a compare and a contrast with this. I want to raise the question of whether or not anybody else would have been taken to task for this, or should they be taken to task for this? Billy Graham's son, and I know that some would make the argument that, you know, you can't be held responsible for what your children do. But the fact of the matter is that Graham is the eldest son of Billy Graham. He's the president of the Samaritan's Purse and is also, I believe, affiliated with Billy Graham's ministry. And I've always believed, while I'm not a biologist, while I'm not a person that has studied extensively the science of genes, I don't have all of the answers with regard to genetics, but I will say this. For my limited few minutes here on the planet Earth, I believe with all my heart that the nut doesn't fall far from the tree. And that children are, with the exception of biological abnormalities, children aren't that much different than their parents who've raised them. Billy Graham's son, the eldest son, Franklin Graham, has said horrific things about other people's religions. I think it's awful. I think it is awful to tear down people's religions. I think that that is unacceptable. I think that that is wrong. Billy Graham's son has said the God of Islam is not the same God. He is not the son of the Christian or the Judeo-Christian faith. He is a different God, and I believe is a very evil and wicked religion. And he says that he is, that this is not attacking Islam, but Islam has attacked us. And I puzzle over this statement, this extraordinarily hateful, intolerant statement. And I puzzle over the starting place, the springboard of this extraordinary, intolerant statement. The springboard is 9/11. The springboard is we're not attacking Islam, but Islam has attacked us. And because I try to grab a hold of the history that I live in, the world that I live in, the times that I live in, Timothy McVeigh was a Christian. Timothy McVeigh blew up the Oklahoma City building, in the name of Christianity. And so would it be fair and logical to say that we didn't attack Christianity, Christianity attacked us? Thousands of Americans were affected. Many, many, many died as a result of that terrorist attack on our soil. Yet and still, if there had been a Muslim leader, if there had been a Buddhist leader, if there had been a leader of any religion outside, a Jewish leader, any religion outside of Christianity that wanted to make an assessment about an entire faith of people, there would have been howling at the moon that this is wrong. It's not just some man out there making an outrageous statement, outrageously hateful statement, outrageously inaccurate statement, outrageously intolerant statement, but he is the son of a man who counsels presidents. He counsels George W. Bush. And yet, these statements have not been denounced. Graham went on to say it wasn't Methodists flying into those buildings. It wasn't Lutherans. It was an attack by this country, on this country, by people of the Islamic faith. The Oklahoma City bombing was an attack on this country by a person of Christian faith. Four five four. 0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And I wonder about the people that have the access to so many religious components. Jerry Falwell has made similar negative comments about Islam. He's refused to meet with American Muslims in order to explain or rectify his comments. Jerry Falwell has gone so far as to say that that Islam should be excluded from receiving federal funding for social services. That's how far he has gone. There's a common thread, though. There seems to be a common thread. Because here we have two white male Christians And then there is an African Christian called Lee Patterson. He is a spokesperson, an advocate for the issues of the far right and the Christian far right. And his comments are very similar in tone and in content. And you have to ask the question of what is the common thread that pulls together Franklin Graham, that pulls together Jerry Falwell, and pulls together a person like Lee Peterson. I'm going to be talking about that when we come back. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about.
There have been times that I thought I could last for long. But now I think I'm able to carry on. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Chrysler Summer Sales Drive. Northbound 270 at 44, there's an accident that's been cleared. It's on the right shoulder. Traffic slows at Gravois. Northbound 55 between Loughborough and 44, no problems reported. Eastbound 44 between Mraz Overpass all the way through to Big Bend, no problems in your 7:30 commute. Eastbound 40 between Mason and 170, look for no problems there. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry to West Florissant, look for very heavy volume in this hour. Westbound 255 from Telegraph all the way into Lime Ferry. Look for normal traffic in your 7:30 commute. Your bridge should stack up like this. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge. You have slow traffic, particularly in the right lane. Westbound 64 from 15th all the way to the 5570 split. Look for slow traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois side onto Laclede's Landing. Everything looks good. Russell at South Grand. There's a report of an accident there. That's a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Chrysler Summer Sales Drive. There's never been a better time than now to get to your Chrysler dealer during the Summer Sales Drive, where you can get big cash allowances or low financing or on some of the Chrysler's best products. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Partly cloudy with a high in the upper 90s this evening. Partly cloudy with a low around 70 for Tuesday, partly cloudy with a high in the lower 90s. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy still with a low in the lower 70s. And then on Wednesday, hot and humid, partly cloudy with a high in the mid to upper 90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 79 degrees under cloudy, hazy conditions. Lambert Field is reporting 78 and clouds as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call that's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Are you looking to get your transmission fixed? Well, take it on over to Roy's Transmission, where you get great quality, great price, and great service. Some transmission shops will tell you you have to tear your transmission down to fix it. No, you don't. Take it on over to Roy's, and he will hook your transmission up, run a diagnostic on it, and tell you what's wrong with it and how much it will cost to fix it. Roy's Transmission, 5524 Riverview. That's 5524 Riverview. Or give him a call at 383-2019, 383-2019, Roy's Transmission.
Want to get more splash for your cash every day? Choose the place with short lines, big thrills, and more water fun than ever. Raging Rivers. Ride the tide at Breaker Beach. Relax on the endless river. Slide, spin, and splash in Swirl Pool. Play for hours in Treehouse Harbor. And don't forget, Itty Bitty Surf City. It's just for kids. Get all this and more, plus an incredible view of the mighty Mississippi, all for one low price. So bring your family, bring your friends, and get more splash for your cash at Raging Rivers. Now open daily at 10:30 a.m. on the Great River Road in Grafton. Raging Rivers! Save $3 off the regular price admission with coupons available at your Schnook. Raging Rivers! It's over the top!
Science or religion? Republican or Democrat? Politics, education, crime? Or you just want to talk about Girl Scout cookies? What's your opinion? What's your solution? Tell me, Dave Linehan, on Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU, Monday through Friday, 4 to 6.
Try your best. A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Every ghetto, every city, and suburban place I've been, made me recall my days. In the New Jerusalem, you know it's hot. Don't forget what you got. Looking back, looking back, looking back, looking back. You know it's hot.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number, 454-6609 is my fax. Get up, get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Gwen, good morning.
Oh, good morning. Let me tell you, this is my first time calling a radio program. I've listened to your program for about 2 or 3 years. I am a retired teacher, number one. Number two, I heard this morning you guys were talking about the Williams sisters. I did not look at them play tennis. I looked at somebody playing golf the other day, and there was a young Korean young lady who eventually won the whole process. She took it out of the hands of two white amateur girls. They did not, they being the broadcasters, did not give the Korean girl any credibility for the fact that she hit a very long shot out of a sand trap into the hole to win the golf tournament. They did not talk about her at all. They were so upset because she won. That was number one. Number two, I thought Abraham in the book of Genesis had two sons. One probably had an effect, started Christianity, well, not started, but was a forecaster of Christianity, and the other one was the forecaster of the Islamic religion. I've never heard anybody mention that, and you were talking about the Billy Graham outfit and what they had to say. So I'm just throwing a couple of things out.
All right.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. The connection that was being made a little earlier was between the words of Billy Graham's son and the lack of denouncement of those words. There are people that distance themselves from those words, that Islam is a evil, wicked religion, very evil, very wicked religion. And you got to ask yourself the question of what kind of individual, or what kind of God does an individual pray to that would allow for such intolerance, and also that also allows for such hypocrisy and ignoring of logic in an effort to get to a hateful place. If Islam can be condemned for 9/11, then Christianity can be condemned for the Oklahoma City bombing. That's just the bottom line. God has a sense of history, too. God remembers. God has a sense of an appreciation for logic and motive. And yet, and still, that there is this commonality, a commonality of intolerance. There is a man by the name that is being used by, or no, that is allowing himself to be used. His name is a religious man by the name of Lee Peterson. He has said that Muslim folks are moving in and trying to take over. I don't care what people say, but Muslim people don't like us. And as to reparations, he says, he emphasizes that all slaves are dead. On those who want reparations, instead of reparations, how about a ticket to back to Africa? And he laughs. This is a man of African descent. And he is the head of a Bond, Brotherhood Organization of Destiny. Four five four oh 400 is my phone number. 454 6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. So what do they have in common? Intolerance, political affiliation. All in the name of God. Intolerance, political affiliation, all in the name of God. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We have much, much, much to talk about. There is a dilemma. There is an economic dilemma out there for the United States. There's an economic dilemma for the United States. And I kind of giggle over the dilemma that this country finds itself in. I reported last week that China has made an $18.5 billion bid for Unocal Corporations. Chevron had made a bid of $16.4 billion. Here's the deal. If China wins, because this is a state-owned business that's making a bid for Unocal. Unocal is an American company, American oil company. If China wins the bidding war, know this, Unocal is the ninth largest U.S. oil and gas production company. If China wins this war, then our good government may have to step in and turn it down. And what will that do to China relationships? What will that do? You know, the fact of the matter is one of the reasons that China is able to afford to make a multi-billion dollar bid, 18.5 to be specific. The reason that they're able to do that is because we've made them rich. All these companies are going to China and making their stuff cheap. China makes money off those deals, too. China can afford to do it. So what's George W. Bush going to say to China? No, you can't buy this company. And what will that do to Chinese relationships if he says no? If the United States government says no? You see a little hypocrisy in this? You see just a touch of hypocrisy in this?
complaining about investment barriers in China, but crying foul when Chinese firms want to buy U.S. businesses. They're saying that China's putting up all kinds of barriers that we can't get into China, but China can't get into us. Ain't that some stuff? My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
How you doing, Liz?
Outstanding.
That Peterson guy, what did you say his name was?
His name is Lee.
Lee Peterson?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I was thinking of Jesse Peterson. You ever heard of that guy?
No, I haven't.
Jesse Lee Peterson?
Uh-uh.
He's a talk show host, too. Oh, okay. Yeah, I was talking about the situation. They're talking about preemptive strike in Iran. They have settled the situation in Iraq. How are they going to go into Iran next?
Well, you know, have you heard of multitasking? Maybe we just multitasking wars.
It seems to me this problem, they're just hoping that these insurgents will just stop and go away, basically, because they don't have no answer.
No, they're not saying that these insurgents are going to stop and going away. They're saying that it's going to take 6 to 8 to 12 to 12 to 15 years to get rid of this war. And our illustrious leader, Donald Rumsfeld, Mr. $2,000 suit man, has said that, you know what, we're not going to be able to stop the insurgency. We're going to tee it up, if you will. We're going to tee it up for other folks to stop the insurgency.
They can't be sure of that.
But why can't we leave? If we can't stop them, why can't we leave?
Because they know that it'll be total chaos over there.
No, it would be fixed, and they wouldn't get the oil over there that they want.
It would be fixed.
Well, let me ask you this question. Were there insurgents before
there wasn't, no.
Okay, well then, hello?
I mean, and then they got a perfect opportunity. They don't have to worry about training camps for terrorists, as they so-call it, because they have a perfect camp right there to train in. You know, they've just created a hell of a situation over there.
Okay, thanks for your call. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We're going to take a break. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about.
Your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline Kabul. The Afghan government reports that 178 Taliban fighters were killed and another 56 taken captive in 3 days of fighting in southern Afghanistan. Even so, the senior commanders who were in the area of the operation managed to escape. Most of the dead were killed by American airstrikes. The defense ministry says that two members of the Taliban leadership council were completely surrounded but still managed to slip away. The Afghan insurgency has grown in strength since the end of winter and is believed to be drawing in new recruits from Pakistan and surrounding areas. And Dateline London. On the six-month anniversary of the deadly Asian tsunami, Oxfam, one of the world's largest charity organizations, says victims have received the least in the way of help. Oxfam says too much of the assistance provided has gone to businesses and landowners, creating an even bigger gap between rich and poor. The tsunami happened on December 26th and killed at least a 250,000 people. Most of the poor who survived are still living in refugee camps, and little in the way of permanent housing has even been built for them. A British think tank organization says such a failure to provide would not be tolerated if the disaster had happened in the developed part of the world. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update.
The International House of Prayer presents Pray St. Louis, a conference to unite and equip the church in St. Louis. It will take place from Thursday, July 7th through Saturday, July 9th at the International House of Prayer, 9820 East Watson Road in Crestwood. These are $25 for individuals, $40 for couples, and $5 each for children ages 5 through 12. For more information, call 314-842-8679. Something spiritual to do from Radio Free St. Louis.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-376-9913.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. Our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for thousands of our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
According to IRS statistics, the average settlement for accepted offers and compromise was between 12 and 15 cents per tax dollar owed, which means you could qualify to reduce your tax debt by as much as 85%. If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-376-9913. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-376-9913. That's 800-376-9913.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. In the next hour, we're going to be joined by Neil Watkins of Jubilee USA to talk about all that talk we heard last week about the debt that is going to be reduced to African nations. We're going to be talking about how real is that debt reduction, what is the goal, what do we have ahead of us. We'll be talking to Neil Watkins of Jubilee USA in the next hour. Ben, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. Couple of things. First of all, they already sold the IBM to the Chinese so they could get to our markets. And the Chinese, we owe them a lot of money because they financed their tax cuts by borrowing money from China and Japan. So I don't think they're going to say too much about it, or are they scared too?
Well, they're in a dilemma. That's my point. This is a dilemma for our government, because they want to say no. Because what the argument that they're making about it is that when China is allowed to get stronger, then China can help people that we don't like. China can help a Venezuela. China can help an Iran. China can help any place in the world that needs help. And China becomes the player and the decision maker, and not the United States. That's what this is about.
They can also help North Korea, like
they
did in the Korean War. They actually fought in the Korean War. I mean, how do they expect the Chinese to help them when it comes to North Korea, when they actually fought the Chinese during the Korean War? That's the stupidest thing I ever heard this administration.
Well, no, it's not the stupidest thing. That's not fair. That's not the stupidest thing. Okay, one of the things, I mean, it's along the same type of philosophy that the Iraqi people are going to welcome us as liberators.
And throw roses
at our feet. It's that same worldview. It's crazy.
And the other thing I wanted to say was about the Reverend Graham's son.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't understand these folks about, they haven't studied the Quran at all. If they did, they would know that their precious Jesus is mentioned in the Quran. He's not in the Torah, the Jewish version of the Bible. And they don't even know that. And you know, as a lawyer, that's because they always study. They only study one book when it comes to religion. That's the Bible. Now, as a lawyer, you probably would agree with me that your profession would be in trouble if you only had one law book on your shelf, wouldn't you?
Well, I guess the thing about it is that if you want to be scholarly and if you wanted to be truly knowledgeable, you would study everything if you're going to be pushing yourself out there as an expert in religion. And you can't be blind to all components of all things. You can't. Here it is. You can study just the Bible if you want to. That's cool. That is absolutely fine if that's all you want to study. But don't put yourself in the position of assessing anybody else's religion if you haven't studied it. That's what the deal is. You can read nothing but the Bible. But don't come out here on Front Street talking about how evil Muslims are, how evil Islam is, how evil the Quran is when you haven't read nor studied it. That's what the problem is.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, it's very, very narrow mind. This is a narrow minded philosophy that they're going by, and people.
It's an incompetent philosophy that you can assess something without ever having studied it.
Exactly. You know,
it's similar to people saying what happens within the community of African descent when they've never had a black teacher, when they've never had a black employer, when they've never had a black friend, when they've never read a book about black people, when they've never read a book written by a black person. How are you going to tell me what happens within the community of African descent when you haven't done any of these things? You have no degree to do that?
Mm-hmm. Well, also, I wanted to say something about the Williams sisters in Wimbledon. You know, Wimbledon is it's sort of an uppity type tennis club. That's why all the players have to wear white, and that's a rule. And they had talked about the girl. I don't think she beat Venus.
No, she didn't beat her.
They said that her voice was on the same decibel level as a chainsaw,
mm-hmm.
and that Venus's was on the decibel level of a garbage disposal. They didn't say actually that she sounded like a garbage disposal.
But you get the concern and the analogy.
Yeah, well, you didn't hear that until the whisper. And to me, it sounds like all these other players are getting that verbal tension relief from the Williams sisters because you never heard anything else said about it before then. And everybody knows that making a sound and releasing that sound is akin to the martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
So you couldn't, why Bruce Lee wouldn't be Bruce Lee without those familiar sounds that he makes.
All right.
Thanks.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning. You're on the wake-up call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Please don't forget, we are broadcast, or we are archived daily on the WhiteRoseSociety.org, WhiteRoseSociety.org. We're archived daily, so if you missed an hour, go get an hour. Turner.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, I want to make a comment on the Meet the Press yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
He was so, Rumsfeld was masterful. He didn't answer any of Tim Russert's questions.
That's not masterful.
Oh, hey, the devil is masterful. Some of the stuff he do, the devil do. And what he said, that last one was a gem. When he asked him about what some reporter or what newspaper printed about the war, he referred it to Karl Rove. He said, Karl Rove said that. They're talking about Karl Rove. And now if that ain't master, he put it on Karl Rove and explained it in the mind of Karl Rove.
The fact that you are a trickster, the fact that you are an evil person, the fact that you are unwilling to tell the truth, I would not put that in the realm of masterful. I would put that in the realm of trickery and excelling in trickery,
right.
Excelling in evil,
yeah.
But not masterful.
I agree.
I think
I'm a person. I try to be moral, and morality is my thing, but
the way they're tricking the American people, the public.
Well, I'm not convinced that the American people are entirely tricked. One of the reasons why George W. Bush is making a speech tomorrow, or is it tonight?
Tuesday. Isn't it?
Is it tomorrow? I think Tuesday it's tomorrow.
North Carolina.
In Fort Bragg.
Yes.
The reason why George W. Bush is making a speech tomorrow at Fort Bragg is because of the American public. The American public, the poll numbers are dropping like crazy, that in support of this war. So people are not, and I think one of the reasons that if the economy was okay, if people had jobs and everything was happy, happy, joy, joy, people would be still either ambivalent to this war or supportive of this war. Things are not good for the American people. They are making the connection between the trillions of dollars that are being flushed down the toilet in Iraq and the fact that they don't have a job at GM. They're making that connection.
Right. Now, last week, I think it was Senator Ted Kennedy grilled
Donald Rumsfeld. Mm-hmm.
And he said, hey, these things happen on your watch. Why haven't you resigned?
He said George W. Bush won't let me.
He said twice I've handed in my resignation.
There's nobody in America that can't quit a job if they don't want to.
He could turn around and leave
tomorrow.
And you can see why Bush won't let him resign.
Bush doesn't have. Donald Rumsfeld is a grown man. Donald Rumsfeld is a grown man. If he want to quit a job, you telling me that Donald Rumsfeld can't quit something he don't want to quit?
If
he
wanted to quit, I wouldn't let him quit.
Yeah, well, that has nothing to do with it. Donald Rumsfeld can quit any job in America he wants to. He chooses not to.
Okay.
Thanks for your call. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I'll be back in the next hour to talk about the debt. The debt. Stay with me.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Joan Bennett. What could be a sensational murder trial begins today in Wichita, Kansas. Dennis Rader, the alleged BTK killer, is charged with murdering 10 women over three decades. Reporter Josh Wells in Wichita.
Those close to the case say that Rader's defense team has no idea what their client is planning to do today in court. He does have five possible choices in the courtroom today, according to Kansas law. He could proceed to trial, ask for a bench trial, change his plea to guilty, plead no contest, or ask for a continuance. Josh Wells, ABC News, Wichita.
When the Supreme Court's term ends today, there's speculation that there could be some retirement news. Let's go live to ABC's Vic Raptor in Washington. Vic?
Joan, leaving home on his way to the court this morning, Chief Justice William Rehnquist gave reporters a wave, but no clue about his plans. Rehnquist, 80 years old, has seemed stronger in recent weeks after his battle with cancer. In the big decisions due out today, whether it's allowable to display the Ten Commandments on public property, and whether Internet providers can be held liable for illegal swapping of files such as movies and music. Joan?
ABC's Vic Ratner, live from Washington. Beaches have reopened in Walton County, Florida, following a fatal shark attack this weekend. ABC's Andrew Colton.
Sharks are common in the area where 14-year-old Jamie Daigle was attacked, past two sandbars and well into the Gulf. George Burgess maintains the international shark attack file at the University of Florida and says it may be impossible to know why the shark went after the girl.
Whether it was intentionally trying to feed on a human or a fish or a turtle, we'll never know.
One man says he punched the shark as he placed the girl on a surfboard to pull her back to shore. Andrew Colton, ABC News, Miami.
There were two pilots on a U.S. Apache helicopter that crashed and burned north of Baghdad today. No word on casualties. This is ABC News.
People talk about the new service economy, but America is still very much a land where we build things, create things. And one place where quality has really taken hold is GM. A new study by J.D. Power & Associates was just released. And out of 84 assembly plants in North and South America, we took the top three awards. These are the plants where we build cars like the Buick LaCrosse, the Pontiac Grand Prix, the Chevy Impala in Monte Carlo, and the Cadillac DeVille, among others. Anytime you sweep a segment, it's the sign of real excellence. For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com.
Tell me where you are. And I will jump into my car. I won't slow down.
The Gold, Silver, and Bronze Plant Quality Awards. Only one car company could do that. Only GM. To learn more, visit onlygm.com/quality.
making intersections less likely to become collision magnets. ABC's Andy Fields says traffic experts are working on it.
The AAA studied intersections with and without left-turn signals and found that the added directions cut all driving accidents by 25%. For drivers over 65, the accident rate drops 73%. AAA says older drivers face an even greater risk.
Simply because when crashes happen, their bodies are generally the least well prepared to handle it.
AAA spent 6 years studying better intersection lights. It is asking Congress to help states pay for them. Andy Field, ABC News, Washington.
Gas and oil prices vying for airspace. Crude oil rising to a new record high above $60 a barrel. And on average, gasoline up 8 cents to $2.24 a gallon. On average, nationwide, patients suffering from severe depression who haven't responded to other treatments may be helped by deep brain stimulation like a pacemaker. That's according to researchers. Joan Bennett, ABC News.
Good morning, I'm Chris Lane, and this WGNU News Report is brought to you by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. A Highland, Illinois man is dead after a single vehicle crash late Saturday night. Authorities say 54-year-old Daniel Heisner lost control of his pickup on Vouliette Road in Highland and overturned. Heisner was pronounced dead at the scene from massive head trauma. Officials say he was not wearing a seatbelt. The damage is extensive at the South St. Louis Praxair building, but Friday's explosive fire could have been much worse. No one was injured in the propane-fueled blaze at the gas processing facility, as all of the employees in the building got out safely. Praxair's corporate communications director, Susan Zita Gore, says safety is a top priority for the company.
We spend a lot of time, energy, and resources training people. I mean, we recognize that the materials we handle have to be handled with respect, and so it's very important to us to make sure that everybody knows what to do when.
The fire forced the evacuation of a 10-block radius and the shutdown of Highway 40, as well as several other roads at the height of Friday's afternoon rush. Officials believe the blaze started in a gas tank behind the building, but are still looking for the cause. Senator Jim Talent says he's working to keep auto jobs in Missouri from being threatened. Senator Talent co-sponsored an energy bill amendment with Senator Kit Bond, which passed to defeat a proposal to change national fuel efficiency standards. The defeated amendment could have raised fuel efficiency standards to as high as 40 miles per gallon. The current standard is approximately 21 miles per gallon. The Senate is expected to pass its version of the energy bill tomorrow. And finally, the Humane Society of Missouri is preparing to go to court in an attempt to get custody of the animals rescued last week from a Troy pet shop. The Troy Police Department requested the Humane Society's help after receiving an anonymous tip that the animals were being neglected. Among the animals rescued were cats, kittens, a variety of fish, and some pocket animals such as hamsters and gerbils. The animals are not yet available for adoption. Toyota owners, even Toyotas need periodic attention, and when it's time, make sure you bring it to your local Toyota dealer, offering factory-trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts. That's Toyota Confidence. And now here's Howard Morton with a look at traffic.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Walmart. Northbound 55 between Bayless and Gravois, expect normal traffic this hour. Eastbound 44 between Merrimack River Bridge and 270. It is slow in the right lane as you approach the 270 interchange there. Eastbound 40 from 141 all the way into Mason Road. Look for that traffic to be easing. Westbound 270 at West Florissant and 170. Look for slow traffic in pockets in between that area. Northbound 270 from Cessna Ferry to 44 is stop and go this hour. Westbound 255 from Telegraph to 55. Expect normal traffic. Westbound 40 from McCausland to Hanley. Look for heavy volume this hour. And eastbound 40 between 170 and Hanley. Look for heavy volume as well. Your bridge approaches stack up like this. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge. It is stop and go. Westbound 64 from 5570 is returned back to normal. And westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing. Look for normal traffic this hour. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Walmart. That shopping list can look mighty ferocious. Fight back with one-stop shopping at Walmart Supercenter. With services like Tire and Lube Express, getting everything your family needs at the Walmart price has never been better. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. For today, partly cloudy skies, high in the lower 90s. This evening, partly cloudy with a low around 70. Tuesday, partly cloudy with a high in the lower 90s. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy still with a low in the lower 70s. Then on Wednesday, hot and humid, partly cloudy with a high in the mid to upper 90s. Stay tuned for currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU. We have 81 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 80, both under cloudy, hazy conditions. Stay tuned now for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can this go? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can this go? Power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you put the knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can this end?
Truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number, 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And don't forget that my show, The Wake Up Call, is archived daily at WhiteRoseSociety.org. That's WhiteRoseSociety.org. So if you miss an hour, you can go get an hour right over there at WhiteRoseSociety.org. archived daily. You can email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution at Liz Brown. That's LIZZBROWN.com. A few days back, there was much noise in the media about how the group of eight, G8, industrialized nations, agreed to write off more than $40 billion of the debts of the world's 18 of the world's nations, including many in Africa, freeing up enormous debt repayments. The question is what kind of debt write-off did Africa get? What kind of debt write-off did these countries get? Were there strings attached to this? How much of this write-off, how much does this write-off impact the entirety of the debt that these nations have. To facilitate that conversation, to talk about the debt, I have joining me this morning from Washington, D.C., Neil Watkins, National Coordinator with Jubilee USA. Neil, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. How are you?
Good.
Very good. Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, well, we certainly like to think that it's the pressure of activists and campaigners around the world that have had some impact on the G8's decision these past couple of weeks. We don't think they dream up these ideas by themselves.
Never have before, have they? Never have before. So can we back up just a little bit, Neil, and let's talk about who are the G8s and what have they done?
Well, the G8 it's the group of eight. The eight wealthy nations, including the United States, it also includes UK, France, Germany, Japan, Canada, and Italy. And they were founded in the 1970s basically to bring together the wealthiest economies to basically decide economic policy together, so sort of a club of the wealthy nations. And the group that met a couple weeks ago is called the G8 Finance Ministers. They're the basically, in the case of the United States, it's the U.S. Treasury Secretary who represents us at those meetings. And they really do call the shots at all the international financial institutions, so the IMF, the World Bank.
They answer to them.
Exactly, because they have a controlling share in all of these institutions. And these institutions, of course, have a huge, huge impact on countries' economies in Africa and Asia and Latin America. So they really are the decision makers, and they're the folks that we've been targeting for the past several years to demand debt cancellation, really as a matter of justice for people across the globe. And under a lot of pressure, political pressure in the UK, pressure from activists around the world, they basically agreed 2 weekends ago to recommend to the full G8 cancellation of debts of 18 nations in full, 100% to the IMF, the World Bank, and African Development Fund.
Now, who are these 18 nations, and how did they get on the list?
Very good question. Well, 18 nations, 14 of them are in Africa, and then 4 of them are in Latin America. And basically, these are the what the IMF and World Bank would call the best performers. So they've been in the Heavily Indebted Poor Countries Initiative, which is a sort of a fancy way to say the IMF and World Bank's debt relief program, for the past 8 years, and they have reached in that program what's called completion point. In order to get to this point, these 18 countries have had to basically go through structural adjustment, these policies of opening markets, of liberalizing or opening to foreign corporations, of removing subsidies, that sort of thing. So they have gone through all those hoops, and at the end, as a result, they get the debt cancellation.
And let's name some of these countries. Ghana is one of them, right?
That's right.
And then can you talk to us specifically about Ghana? What did Ghana have to give up in order to get this debt cancellation? And how did Ghana come to acquire the debt that they had?
Well, I know in the case of Ghana, one of the more controversial things that they had to do is privatization of water. They previously had a publicly run system, which wasn't great, but instead of trying to improve that system, the World Bank has been pressuring Ghana to sell its urban water system in particular to a private corporation. And as a result, parts of it have been sold already, and water rates for the urban poor have increased in Ghana. So there has been a significant price. If you look at how Ghana's debt was accrued, Ghana is a case where there isn't as much of the history of bad rule. There were certainly periods without democracy, but you don't have sort of a long history of undemocratic regimes. But even in that case, you had Ghana taking out loans in the 1970s at very low interest rates. In the late 1970s, early 1980s, the interest rates went way up. It became very difficult for them to pay back, and they also prices for their exported goods, things like cocoa, went way down. So they found themselves in a debt trap in the 1980s, and haven't been able to get out of that. Plus, being sort of under these policies of the IMF and World Bank, have had a hard time in generating their own development strategy. But I mean, you know, it's important to know that these are the conditions these countries had to go through to get to this point. Though I think it's really simply, you know, the fact that they are going to get 100% debt cancellation from these creditors is significant, and you've seen a lot of statements from the government and from civil society in Ghana in the past few weeks, you know, feeling like they've gone through a lot to get here, and that having this money available is going to really free up resources for health and education and clean water.
Well, and in terms of the deals that they made with the IMF, for example, the privatization of water, it is not completed. Does Ghana have to still go through with it, or can they change their mind? Can they undo any of the deals that were made prior to this debt cancellation?
Well, they certainly could, and I know that there are really strong campaigns in Ghana, organizations, student organizations, unions, environmental groups, and others that are pushing the government to not go any further forward with privatization. And now, you know, on the one hand, they no longer have this, they won't have this burden of debt. So one of the arguments we've always made is that one of the benefits of 100% debt cancellation is that countries then have their own resources. They, in theory, they do not have to pay back debt and thus be sort of responsive to every demand from the IMF and World Bank. But the question is, the government will probably choose to take out additional financing from the IMF and the World Bank, grants from the World Bank, perhaps loans from the IMF.
Why would they do that?
Well, you know, it's unclear whether they will or not. Certainly some more progressive or some more sort of visionary governments can try to go on their own and use their own domestic resources or trade regionally. But it's just very difficult in this global economy, and I think the government faces a lot of pressures, you know, to either sign up to these programs or else they're not going to get as much foreign aid, say, from the U.S. or from other European nations. Really, all these folks work together. I mean, if you say no to the IMF and World Bank, you know, then you're also saying no to all, you know, sorts of development aid because it's so tightly packaged. So in a lot of ways, it's sort of a noose around these countries that, you know, once you take out anything, you really have to agree to the conditions of all the creditors.
And how much debt was canceled for Ghana?
In the case of Ghana, it was somewhere around the realm of $2 to $3 billion, I think.
Now, does China enter into this picture at all? Could China be a player in this? If Ghana and other countries are looking for places to get money, could they go someplace other than the IMF?
I think they could. It's unclear really what. You know, the terms would be necessarily that much better. I mean, you see, for example, some of the remaining debt that these countries have after the IMF and World Bank is to countries like Russia, which haven't canceled debt, but you know they're still having. So these countries are still having to pay those nations back. So the question is, can they find a way out of this having to lend, to get loans from countries with conditions? Are there ways to get access to grants? Are there ways to mobilize internal resources? And I think, you know, canceling the debt and extending this principle of 100% cancellation to include all the creditors to make sure that they're not making any payments is a first step because, you know, now they have those resources available. They have their own resources they can spend, which will give them more freedom, I think, to take out fewer loans and grants, but they'll probably still need to do that. One example, we like to hold up as a really good model of development aid is what's called the Global Fund for AIDS, Tuberculosis, and Malaria. And this is a little different than the other big top-down agencies in that projects, you know, AIDS or malaria prevention or treatment projects, you know, basically it's like a foundation. They, at the grassroots level, decide what they want to ask the Global Fund for. They give that request to the Global Fund, and the Global Fund then approves it and disperses the funds. So, I mean, that sort of model where it's actually funding grassroots initiatives or government-led initiatives, which are, you know, good for health.
So it's like kind of going to them and saying, these are the programs that we want. This is the money that we want for the programs, as opposed to the IMF saying, here's some money, but you got to put in place this program.
Exactly, exactly. I think that's just a, I mean, it's a much, you know, that in itself isn't going to solve the problems either, but it's certainly a much better model.
And in terms of the other types of countries that, one more question about Ghana. Ghana has 100% debt cancellation. They don't owe any money to any nation anymore?
Well, no, not exactly. They have 100% cancellation to the IMF, the World Bank, and the African Development Fund.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was the majority of the debt, but there are still some remaining debts on the books, especially to a few bilateral creditors and a few small multilateral development agencies. Now, the IMF and World Bank part was the most significant because they always get paid. They, you know, they require payment first, no matter, even if you can't afford it, you know, even if you just had a huge disaster, you must pay them. So when you remove that burden, it does give a country more space. The other creditors, generally, you can negotiate. You know, it's not as penalizing. But certainly, there is still some remaining debt, and I think that's going to be a lot of the focus of the campaigners now, is to extend this principle of 100% to other creditors to make sure that even these small agencies or these other countries that still have debt really apply the same logic.
So what other countries are the 18 that got the debt, 100% debt cancellation?
Yep. Well, the other 18 include, in Africa, Benin, Burkina Faso, Ethiopia, Madagascar, Mali, Mauritania, Mozambique, Niger, Rwanda, Senegal, Tanzania, Uganda, and Zambia. And just mention one thing about Zambia. Just last week, the Zambian government, having gotten word of their debt cancellation, announced that they would be using some of the money to provide 100,000 Zambians infected with HIV/AIDS with access to antiretroviral drugs, drugs that they previously had not been able to afford, potentially saving 100,000 lives.
So Neil, what were the forces of nature that you think that came together to make this this happen for these 18 nations?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, first, I think the continuing campaigns by civil society, by Jubilee groups around the world.
How long has Jubilee been around?
Since 1997.
Okay.
And there were some that canceled in 1999, but this is really the biggest breakthrough since then. So I think part of it is that campaigning. Part of it is politics, really, in England, in the United Kingdom, where Tony Blair, his government, I think under a lot of criticism for following the U.S. lead in the war in Iraq. And as a result, and also, you know, probably because of some interest in the issue, has been focusing this year on Africa. And the theme of the G8 summit, which England is hosting in a couple weeks, is Africa. The focus will be there. So I think there was a lot of pressure on the UK government to come up with a plan that would address some of Africa's development challenges. And every time they brought it up, people said, well, you have to do something about the debt, that you're not going to, you know, provide an opportunity for Africa to grow, to develop, unless you address this onerous and unjust debt burden. So I think they heard this over and over again and then put forward a plan. You also had the U.S. government, which had its own approach, basically more of a market-friendly approach. You know,
Before we get to that, I kind of want to back up a little bit to England and Tony Blair. So we're talking about kind of like a redemption type of a thing in some respects for Tony Blair, that to make up for the massive disapproval for the war in Iraq, that there was that pressure there?
I think so. I mean, I think
and then the stars were aligned with the whole, I mean, it's kind of sad to think about it, that we had the war that may have been a catalyst, or that arguably was a catalyst, and then we also have AIDS, right?
Right.
And those two bad things have led to this?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a sense of, there's both a sense of political crisis and a sense of humanitarian crisis, you know, from the British perspective, the political crisis being, you know, a lot of people in that country being really alienated with that government's direction and wanting to put forward sort of a human face and some better focuses. And then the humanitarian crisis is that it's true. I think it's really getting increasingly hard for people to avoid the fact when 2 million people die every year from HIV/AIDS, which, though it's not treatable, you can now live almost a full life if you have access to treatment. But 2 million Africans are being denied that right every year. So I think that growing moral crisis as well helped contribute to this debate.
And when you were talking a few minutes ago about the reason why these particular 18 countries were on the list is because they had kind of met the targets for good governance, I guess, from the G8. Did they really meet the targets, or was that just the G8's way of saying that, of saving face and allowing these countries to have their debts canceled? Because, I mean, there are other countries also that are out there that need their debts canceled. What will they have to do to get their debts canceled?
Right. Well, I think, I mean, a lot of these countries really have gone through a lot of pain to get to the point where they are. They've really tightened their belts. You know, they've really sort of adopted some of these policies in full. So, I mean, I think they really have done it, perhaps to the detriment of their economy. You know, some of the groups we work with in Africa have said, look, this debt cancellation doesn't even compensate for the losses that we've faced as a result of these policies, because of the loss of industry, because of the loss of you know, public water or that sort of thing. So I think that's a really strong argument. Now, for the other countries, in order for – there's 20 more countries which could qualify for this 100% debt cancellation to the IMF and World Bank. But they have to reach completion point.
That's what I'm saying. So there, yeah. there is an actual –
They're not thing. There.
They're not there.
And they have to go. They basically have to continue to have a strong track record with these IMF policies of privatization, of liberalization, of opening markets. And once the IMF signs off and says, okay, you guys are a model free market economy, then they're going to be let into the club of getting debt cancellation.
We're going to take a break, folks. We're talking with Neil Watkins, National Coordinator with Jubilee USA. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. We're talking about debt cancellation. This is Liz Brown, the Wake Up Call. We will be back after this break. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Northbound 55 at Old MacArthur Bridge, an injury accident has two right lanes blocked and traffic jams at Park. Eastbound 44 at Merrimack River Bridge, look for that to be flowing freely this hour. Westbound 270 at Washington Elizabeth, it's finally easing up in North County this hour. Northbound 270 at 44 has returned back to normal. Westbound 255 from Jefferson Barracks Bridge all the way into Lindbergh. Expect normal traffic in your 8:30 commute. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, still have heavy volume there. Eastbound 40 between Clayton Warson and Hanley, you've got heavy volume in pockets as well. Eastbound 70 at Jennings Station Road, look for construction. The right lane has been closed, and there is a brief backup at this hour. And your bridges look like this. Westbound 5570 onto the Poplar Street Bridge has returned back to normal. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois side to Laclede's Landing, no problems to report there. East Grand at Blair, there's a report of an accident. And North McKnight at Longacre, there's a report of an accident as well. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's. This month only, McDonald's fries could mean a Cardinals prize. Free or discounted tickets, road trips, seats from Busch Stadium, and more. Over 3 million prizes and offers. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Partly cloudy skies today, a high in the lower 90s. This evening, partly cloudy with low around 70. for Tuesday. Partly cloudy with a high in the lower 90s. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the lower 70s. Then on Wednesday, hot and humid, partly cloudy skies, high in the mid to upper 90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, under hazy, cloudy conditions, we have 81 degrees. Lambert Field is holding steady at 80 degrees with the same skies, cloudy and hazy. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. Is up next. We'll take a final look at your traffic as well as your news and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Families need look no further than the Wyndham Anatole Hotel for great summer vacation savings, offering fantastic hotel discounts and partnering with some of Dallas's best family attractions. Wyndham Anatole has the ultimate family getaway package, as low as $129.95 per night. Families are sure to enjoy the hotel's three pools, huge health club, 7-acre park, and a self-guided audio tour of the hotel's private art collection. Call 214-761-7500 or log on to WyndhamAnatole.com to make your reservations today.
Get out your favorite pain medication. Point your browser to Head Thumping Talk Radio with Brett Rosen at WGNU.net.
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, "We eliminate the middleman"? Well, one thing's pretty certain. It wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him? Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago, and they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call, and you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO, 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Radio is a very effective means of communication. Right now, thousands of people are hearing this message. Those same people could be hearing your message on WGNU right now. And each person who hears your ad is a potential customer. Is your business really strong enough that it can afford to pass up that many potential clients? To find out how affordable advertising on WGNU can help your business, call sales manager Brian Kay during regular business hours at 314-454-6660.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I got something I want to talk about. Y'all listen here. The time has come to air my feelings. Yeah. There's just so much confusion going down. I'm not the kind to be complaining. But sometimes you got to stand out from the crowd. Everyone got their own opinion.
Welcome back. Welcome back. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. I am talking to Neil Watkins, National Coordinator with Jubilee USA. He's joining us from Washington, D.C., and we're talking about this massive African debt write-off. Neil, one of the things that the G8 finance ministers said was, quote, "Our agreement in return for debt relief is that it goes towards health, hospitals, nurses, education, schools, teachers, and infrastructure." Does that, embodied in that quote, does that mean that if they don't use their money for those items, that this debt could somehow come back?
Well, we haven't seen in this agreement actual new conditionality. That is, the existing conditions, which I described in this debt relief process, are still in place. But we haven't heard that there are going to be specific new conditions. But I think that, you know, one of the things we're really keen on, and that certainly the groups we work with in Africa are very keen on, is that the debt cancellation that comes does get to those who need it most, those who don't have access to health care, to education, to clean water. And the record on this front for debt relief to date, even though it's been very limited and very conditional, has actually been quite good. I mean, you've seen in a country like Tanzania, you've had 3.1 million children who were able to go back to school because the government could afford to provide free education instead of charging user fees. You've seen a similar outcome in Uganda. You've seen millions poured into HIV/AIDS programs in Mali and Mozambique from previous debt relief. So the record is good, and we're optimistic and are going to be working with, mainly taking leadership from those groups in Africa who are basically going to be holding their own governments accountable to make sure that this debt cancellation gets to those who need it most. That's really the way that it should be done. We don't think the IMF in Washington ought to tell Burkina Faso, you know, how to spend its money, but strong civil society in those countries can really put pressure on their government.
But we're not completely certain that they're not going to continue to try to do that.
No, I mean, there's certainly always a risk with these institutions of imposing new conditionality, and that's one of the things we're going to be watching for as this deal comes up. And just to point out, this actually isn't, these countries haven't received their own resources yet, right?
Okay, yeah.
there's still a few steps in the process. And just briefly, so next week the G8 will meet in Scotland, and they have to formally, the heads of state have to approve what the finance ministers recommend. We assume they will, because they had to get approval to make this deal a few weeks ago.
So that's just more like a formality.
Formality. But then because this is debt owed to the IMF and the World Bank, when those institutions' boards meet in their annual meeting in Washington at the end of September, that their whole board has to approve this. And again, the G8 are about half of the votes on the board, so there's little chance it wouldn't pass. And certainly the African nations and Latin American nations are quite pleased to see this. So it will certainly come through. But it's at that time we're going to be watching for the fine print to make sure that it actually is 100% cancellation, that it doesn't come with new conditions. And we're going to be, in that time frame, really pushing that more countries should be included. There were too many countries excluded from this deal, and that these countries that haven't gotten debt cancellation with shouldn't be subjected to these sorts of harmful conditions. What does privatization of water and health have to do with debt cancellation? Very little, unless you're ideologically, you know, really cemented in this view of free markets.
Or that you have a company that wants to get a hookup with the privatization process.
Exactly.
How much credit will Wolfowitz be given for this? How much impact did he have on this decision for debt cancellation?
Paul Wolfowitz, new president of the World Bank, very little impact. I think most of the negotiations that happened here were underway before he even came onto the scene. I think he's been getting some credit in the media for being in the meetings where it happened, but I'd be surprised
well,
if he...
Well, he had to be at the meeting. It's not like that was his job. He was supposed to be at the meeting. Now, in terms of the United States and this issue and what the United States has done, Tony Blair came to the United States and met with George W. Bush, asking for the United States to really get on board and to participate in this. What did Tony Blair ask for, and what did George W. Bush offer?
Well, yeah, when Blair came, basically he asked for President Bush to do two things. One, to look at issues of Africa and to support Blair's African plan, including debt cancellation. Though, interestingly, the ultimate debt plan that actually came out looked a lot more like the U.S.'s favorite approach rather than the British approach. The British approach would have provided debt relief for 10 years, 100% debt service relief for these countries, but it wouldn't have actually outright canceled the debt, whereas the U.S. approach, interestingly, would.
How'd that happen?
Well, it's interesting that they basically, the Treasury Department has a view that that sort of, if you want your country to grow, et cetera, if you want to attract private sector investment, that you need to take the entire debt stock away, that debt overhang is an impediment to private investment and development. So they actually argued for getting rid of the stock, which I actually argue, though for different reasons, is a much more progressive approach, because once you cancel the debt, you can't take it back, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really resources countries have for their own development. So they actually ended up taking more of the U.S. approach than the U.K. approach. And then the other issue Blair came to bring to Bush, you know, completely didn't make any progress on, which was climate change. President Bush basically, I think, even refused to say the word climate change in his press conference, you know, out of fear that saying it might legitimize it in some way, when, of course, you know, every scientist with any credibility agrees that this is happening. Mm. So he hasn't had as much luck on that front.
Now, there are other countries that Jubilee is making the argument for that should have been included in with the 18 that have met the requirements and for some reason were not included in this debt write-off. What were those countries, and why do you suppose they weren't included? Like a country like Angola, why wasn't that included?
Uh-huh. Well, first of all, there's these 20 countries that are in the IMF and World Bank's own program that are now going to have to wait even longer to go through these conditions. We think that really right away those countries should come in because, you know, they're already part of the program. But then there are countries that aren't currently on the list as it is for debt cancellation. In Africa, it includes countries like Angola, Kenya, Nigeria, Namibia, South Africa. None of those countries are scheduled to get debt cancellation at any time through this deal. All heavily indebted, all suffering from a lot of crises and need their own resources, many of whom which, you know, have an odious debt, such as South Africa, where you had the apartheid regime basically taking out loans to oppress the black majority, and today the black majority has to pay those loans back. So, you know, there are many countries that are excluded. Another category of countries that are excluded we're concerned about are those nations affected by the tsunami. 6 months ago, the world's attention was really focused on Asia and the impact of the tsunami in that region. But Sri Lanka, Indonesia, the Philippines, you know, these nations, Thailand, Somalia and others.
Haiti.
That were hit.
Oh, well, not Haiti. Okay.
Yeah, but also Haiti. I mean, Haiti suffered under tremendous natural disasters last year, hurricanes, which were quite devastating, floods. We think that Haiti should have also been part of this, and we're going to campaign now. And we think this is a place to build, right? I mean, we've got a precedent now where 18 countries are going to get full debt cancellation. And why, you know, why on earth countries which are even poorer or as poor and clearly as in need of additional resources like Haiti, like Nigeria, like Sri Lanka should be included as well?
And in terms of the Central American countries that were given debt cancellation, are we talking about different types of politics for the inclusion of Central American countries or not?
Well, the Central American country.
Could you hold that thought?
Sure.
Please, we need to take a break. I'm talking to Neil Watkins, National Coordinator with Jubilee USA. We're talking about debt cancellation. This is Liz Brown. Our number is 1-877-920-WGNU. We'll be back. Stay with us.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Milwaukee. An airline pilot with FedEx has been found not guilty by a federal jury on charges she evaded income taxes totaling over $900,000. Bernice Kuglin faced six counts that could have put her in prison for up to 30 years and cost her $1.5 million in fines. The government had accused her of filing false W-4 forms for 7 years. Kuglin had been questioning the tax system for a number of years, and during her court testimony, she said that since 1995, she had sent a number of letters to the IRS asking them to explain to her what law it was that required her to pay individual income tax. She said that she never did get an answer from the agency, and the question of tax payment is still unresolved, even with the end of the trial. And Dateline Baghdad. Reuters news agency is asking the American military for a complete investigation into the shooting death of a news cameraman over the weekend. Mazdan Dana was shot to death by U.S. troops while he was filming a story outside a Baghdad prison. Journalists who were with him say the crew was known by the Americans to be outside the jail for at least 30 minutes, so it was not a case of just appearing out of nowhere. The army says a mortar attack had taken place earlier in the day at the Abu Ghraib prison, and the soldiers thought his camera might be a weapon. The others in the film crew say they had finished the story and had gotten into a car when a tank pulled onto the scene. Donna got out to film the tank when a soldier on the tank crew then shot him. His death highlights the army's shoot first and ask questions later tactics that are undermining Iraqi's confidence in coalition forces. Donna had won an International Press Freedom Award in November of 2001 for his coverage of fighting in the West Bank town of Hebron. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? The Old Testament prophet Micah asked that question of his people thousands of years ago. Since 1994, that question has been one of the bedrock values of hope for the nations,
In 20 countries around the world, Hope for the Nations turns today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders, provides security so children can become confident young people, actively trains them to become productive leaders in their society, and helps their communities to become self-sufficient. Learn more about Hope for the Nations and how you can become part of their worldwide ministry. Go online at www.hopeforthenations.com. That's www.hopeforthenations.com. Hope for the Nations, turning today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders since 1994. What is the Lord requiring of you?
Scientists and doctors are agreeing more and more that diet can determine whether a person lives a long, healthy life or a life full of unnecessary disease and even death.
I have diabetes, and after gradually changing my diet and getting more exercise, I've noticed my sugar level has become stable and my feet don't swell as much.
My blood pressure has been high for 3 years. Once I stopped eating salt and slowed down on eating oily foods, my blood pressure has gotten back to normal.
It seems like I gained weight just by looking at food. But now that I had the knowledge and most importantly the discipline to make conscious healthy choices, my whole life has changed.
Obesity, diabetes, and heart disease cause millions of deaths each year. Every 45 seconds, someone in America suffers from a stroke. Join the battle against these controllable and preventable diseases. Listen to Healthy Alternatives.
Create a healthy future today.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I am talking to Neil Watkins, National Coordinator with Jubilee USA. He's joining us from Washington, D.C., and we're talking about the debt of Africa, the massive African debt write-off. And Neil, on our way out, we were talking about the difference, maybe the difference between the policies directed at the Central American countries that have had their debt write-off and the African countries that have had their debt written off.
Right. Well, the Latin American countries that will see debt cancellation right away include Bolivia, Honduras, Nicaragua, and Guyana. So just four nations, some of the poorest nations in the hemisphere. Mm-hmm. One of the issues we've been particularly concerned about, though it is certainly important that these countries will get 100% cancellation from the IMF and World Bank, they also owe a tremendous amount to the Inter-American Development Bank. This is the regional development bank for Latin America, which, again, the U.S. has a controlling influence in. And just over the next 5 years, rather, they're going to spend, those countries will pay $1.5 billion to the Inter-American Development Bank, money that we think should be canceled, or debts we think should be canceled as well. So we're going to work over the next few years to expand this precedent of 100% cancellation, not just to the IMF and World Bank, but some of these other creditors, which are also really serious burdens.
And I think that it really should be underscored that this is money that was going for debt payment. These were checks that were cut and sent every month.
That's right. That's right. And now, now these in the case of these countries anyway, and again, assuming that the IMF and World Bank agree later this fall, they'll basically be able to keep those resources in their own treasury and figure out how best to spend them themselves. I mean, our argument is that, there's a lot of calls for much more aid to Africa, much more aid to Latin America and Asia. And I think, that certainly is important, and we need to see more development assistance. But I actually argue that debt cancellation is the best form of aid. And I say that because it's that once you receive debt cancellation, a country has access to its own resources, and it can decide what it should do with those resources. It doesn't have to come back every year to the U.S. government and say, please give us aid. The U.S. government will say, well, this year we have this much available, next year we'll have this much available. Every year you have to reapply, you have to put the paperwork in. It's a huge administrative burden, and it's not a predictable flow, because 1 year, Honduras could get $50 million from the United States, and next year it might get $20 million. with debt cancellation, you write it off. That's, you know, if Honduras was sending $150 million back to its creditors every year, that's $150 million more in the budget that Honduras can use for something else predictably for the rest of its time.
And why wasn't a country like South Africa included? Why wasn't Zimbabwe included?
Well, South Africa, you know, if you spend too much time with IMF and World Bank people, that you know they've divided the world into categories of low and middle income, and South Africa is considered a middle income country. So as a result, it's not even close to eligible under the current formula.
How much debt do they owe?
I don't have the figures right in front of me, but they have a significant debt burden, billions of dollars. And again, a lot of this debt is to both private banks and bilateral creditors, as well as some to the IMF. It was largely contracted during the apartheid regime. And so Jubilee movements around the world have rejected this criteria of putting nations into country lists and boxes. We think that if people, you know, that debt should be evaluated on a couple criteria, primarily human need. If a nation's people are suffering from HIV/AIDS in South Africa, there's a tremendous HIV/AIDS pandemic that's completely overwhelming the country's ability to respond. And if a debt is odious, that is that, you know, the citizens are having to pay back a debt that they simply shouldn't have to pay back because it was taken out by an undemocratic leader that was perhaps propped up by the U.S. or other governments during the Cold War, that should be canceled. So those are the sort of criteria that we're trying to argue, rather than these sort of economistic approaches where you look at a country's GDP and their debt to export ratio and these sort of complicated ways of excluding countries.
And those are the considerations. I mean, does the IMF, did the G8 make any consideration towards your concerns? Did those considerations factor in at all?
No, I mean, not
how
really.
How you got the debt doesn't matter.
No, and I think, you know, the creditors are very concerned, because if you look too deep, you're going to find out how they got the debt.
None of the debt is valuable. I mean, none of the debt, that debt is righteous.
That's right, and there's certainly culpability of the creditors and our government and the IMF and World Bank, and I think, you know, these guys don't want to look too deep into that past where the U.S. was making huge loans, the World Bank was making huge loans to Mobutu and Zaire to prop him up, to Suharto in Indonesia, the IMF to the apartheid government in South Africa. I think they're very reluctant to sort of delve too deeply, but that's what our colleagues, especially across Africa in Jubilee campaigns, are doing now. They're undertaking audits. They're working with their national legislatures. They're working with other organizations to get the details, get the loan agreements for the past 30 years to see what conditions were these loans taken out, you know, who did it benefit, and really try to put that out into the public domain so that it will build popular campaigns, basically for these countries to stop paying the debt. Because if it's odious, it's illegitimate, it's not debt that should be paid, then they shouldn't pay it.
And why isn't Zimbabwe part of this?
Well, Zimbabwe also was originally on the list of IMF and World Bank approved countries, but I think was taken off for political reasons because of the Mugabe regime and the fact that concerns about democracy there. So the creditors definitely are not only imposing economic conditions, but they also are looking at governance and that sort of thing.
That they don't like.
What's that?
The governance that they don't like.
Right, exactly.
And Zimbabwe, I also understand that they're saying Zimbabwe doesn't qualify because they never applied for debt relief. That is part of the deal, that you have to apply for it?
I'm not sure. That may be true. I mean, Zimbabwe is a difficult case. We actually work with civil society groups in Zimbabwe, and some think that the debt cancellation should come now, and others, especially those that are concerned about political space in the Jubilee campaigns there, have said, you know, we might wait until, you know, there's more progress on the political front before we take that debt cancellation. So we sort of try to, our approach at Jubilee USA is to find out what the Jubilee campaign in that country says, you know, before we sort of advocate one way or another with our government.
And with regard to the different campaigns that you have all across the world, how many campaigns and how many countries?
There are active Jubilee campaigns in more than 50 countries that I know of, and we're sort of always hearing more and more about them. Or if they're not an actual Jubilee, they're often part of a church-based organization or some sort of non-governmental organization in the country in Africa. in Asia, in Latin America, and across Europe as well. There are really active Jubilee campaigns pressuring their governments as well. I'm going to be in Scotland next week for the G8 summit with some of the, basically there are some meetings of all the Jubilee groups around the world to try to strategize, figure out what this announcement means, and chart the way forward, because we all are aware that our work is far from done and we want to build on this small victory.
So what's the next thing to look forward to, the meeting in Scotland?
Yeah, this next week the G8 will meet in Scotland. There's going to be, I think, a lot of international attention. The G8 are going to be sort of putting out this debt plan and saying, you know, look at what we've done. We've canceled debt. And they're also under a lot of pressure to make a commitment to additional aid to Africa. So later this week you may see an announcement from President Bush, from others in the G8, sort of indicating what they're likely to put forward. Our guess is it's going to be probably well short of what's needed.
Should we expect to see the same types of strings that's been attached to other types of aid?
No, definitely. I mean, the Bush administration approach to aid has been through what's called the Millennium Challenge account, and it's basically selectivity on the outset. So there are only, I believe it's around 15 countries that even get aid through this program, and those are the 15 best-performing countries on economic and political criteria.
And what are some of the conditions that that we put on the aid?
Well, again, in order to get in, you have to be, you know, implementing free market policies. Mm-hmm. You have to have, you know, democracy, you know, human rights. But really, I think the emphasis is more on free markets and open economies.
So you've got to let anybody that wants to come in to be able to do what they want to do.
Uh huh.
All right. And where can people go to get more information, Neil?
They can visit our website. It's JubileeUSA, JubileeUSA.org.
Neil Watkins, National Coordinator with Jubilee USA. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me again. It's great to be with you.
Always a pleasure, Neil. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, the Wake Up Call. I'll be back after the news. Stay with me.
The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember? I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Joan Bennett. A big crowd outside the U.S. Supreme Court this morning, gathering for the final day of its term before a three-month break. ABC's Vic Ratner says a high court could go out with a bang.
The big rulings due out this morning cover whether it's constitutional to display the Ten Commandments on public property, and whether Internet providers can be held liable for illegal Internet swapping of files, such as movies and music. But overshadowing these, the big decision, whether Chief Justice William Rehnquist, 33 years on the High Court, plans to step down after a battle with cancer.
The trial of alleged serial killer Dennis Rader begins today in Wichita. Rader is charged with murdering 10 women over 3 decades. The suspect was dubbed BTK for what he said was his M.O., bind, torture, and kill. An autopsy being performed today on the 14-year-old girl who was killed in a shark attack off the Florida Panhandle Saturday. A shark expert will be on hand to help determine the type and size of the shark that bit Jamie Daigle. Surfer Tim Dykus, who attempted to rescue Daigle, says sharks aren't usually a problem off Walton Beach.
We see sharks all the time out here. They've never really bothered me. They swim under the surfboard all the time. Of course, I pull my feet out of the water when they go by, but they never seem to be agitated or even sense that we're anywhere near any kind of food source.
Dykus on ABC's Good Morning America. Living large, costing taxpayers and private insurers big bucks, say researchers. ABC's Aaron Katursky.
Nearly a third of American adults are overweight, and a study in the journal Health Affairs suggests those extra pounds significantly increase the cost of health insurance. Over the last 10 years, as Americans get fatter, employers and private insurance companies have spent $30 billion more than what they spent in the late 1980s treating weight-related illnesses like diabetes, heart disease, and high cholesterol.
This is ABC News.
If you think a little heartburn is no big deal, even if you're taking medication, I've got two words for you. Think again. Persistent heartburn 2 or more days a week, despite treatment and change of diet, may be acid reflux disease. And about 1 in 3 people with acid reflux may have damage in their esophagus and not even know it. Now I've got another word for you. Nexium. For many, one prescription Nexium, esomeprazole magnesium, not only provides 24-hour heartburn relief, but heals acid-related erosions in the esophagus. Most erosions heal in 4 to 8 weeks. Your results may vary. Other serious stomach conditions may still exist. The most common side effects of Nexium include headache, diarrhea, and abdominal pain. See our ad in Ladies' Home Journal. For more information, visit purplepill.com or call 1-877-3-NEXIUM. When it comes to acid reflux disease, think Nexium, the healing purple pill. Ask your doctor if Nexium is right for you.
Tabloids and a tell-all book still titillating fans of Princess Di and JFK Jr., this time claiming they had an affair.
As both are now departed, the tantalizing tale can never be fully tested, but it comes from longtime friend and confidant of Di's, Simone Simmons, who's penned a new book about the princess. And she tells Britain's Sun newspaper of the moment, she says, Di blurted out the bombshell.
She told me about her quick fling with him at the Carlisle Hotel, and I just said, I was actually in a state of disbelief. I said, that's not you.
Not all royal watchers here are buying the claim, but past revelations show that when it comes to Di, the truth can often be stranger than fiction. Tom Rivers, ABC News, London.
When the federal government's new prescription drug benefit kicks in next year, it won't cover a category of drugs commonly used to treat anxiety, insomnia, and seizures. Xanax, Valium, Ativan are considered too addictive. Joan Bennett, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 4 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's news, traffic, and weather. This hour's news is sponsored by Tropicana Pure Premium Orange Juice. In the news in your 9 o'clock hour, the damage is extensive at the South St. Louis Praxair building, but Friday's explosive fire could have been much worse. No one was injured in the propane-fueled blaze at the gas processing facility, as all the employees in the building got out safely. Praxair's corporate communications director, Susan Zeta Gore, says safety is a top priority for the company.
We spend a lot of time, energy, and resources training people. I mean, we recognize that the materials we handle have to be handled with respect, and so it's very important to us to make sure that everybody knows what to do when.
The fire forced the evacuation of a 10-block radius and shutdown of Highway 40 as well as several other roads at the height of Friday afternoon's rush hour. Officials believe the blaze started in a gas tank behind the building but are still looking for the cause at this hour. A new lawsuit will be filed today against the defrocked St. Louis priest James Biney. The suit alleges that Biney sexually molested Tony Pettis of South City as a child. Yesterday, the Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests handed out leaflets to parishioners outside the St. Andrew's Catholic Church in Lima to urge other victims to come forward. Biney was recently released from prison after the Missouri Supreme Court overturned his conviction. Several North County and South County St. Louis Catholics are preparing to attend new parishes in the Northeast and South City deaneries celebrated their closing masses over the weekend. This is a result of the Archdiocese reorganization of area parishes. Opening masses for the newly consolidated parishes are scheduled to begin next month. And finally this hour, a weekend fire in North St. Louis is being investigated. Firefighters responded to a burning home along Garfield around 7 p.m. last evening. There were no serious injuries reported. And an addendum to this hour's newscast, as the hot weather continues, health officials are warning people to take precautions to avoid heat stroke and other heat-related illnesses. This is especially true for the elderly. Ann Bannis, the spokesperson with St. Andrews at Home Services says the best thing to do is stay in air-conditioned rooms.
Make sure there is ventilation. Also, limit their activities. If they are planning to go out, they should go out in the morning or evening, but not in the hot of the day. Another thing that often gets neglected by the older person is their fluid intake and their hydration.
Additionally, Bannis suggests people wear loose-fitting, light-colored clothing and take cool baths to beat the heat. 73% of all heat-related deaths are in the elderly population. This hour's newscast has been sponsored by Tropicana Pure Premium. Tropicana's invigorating nutrition and freshly squeezed taste can make anyone feel like a morning person. Have a Tropicana morning today. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, let's take a look at this hour's final traffic for your 9 a.m. commute. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Commerce Bank. Northbound 55 at Old MacArthur Bridge, an accident and traffic jams approaching I-44. Northbound 270 at Manchester, look for all roadways to be reopened after an earlier stall has been cleared to the shoulder. Eastbound 44 at Merrimack River Bridge is flowing freely. Westbound 270 between Chain of Rocks Bridge and New Florissant, no problems to report. Northbound 270 at 44 has returned back to normal. Westbound 255 from Coke to 55, expect normal traffic this hour in both directions. Highway 40 at Hanley, traffic is finally easing. Eastbound 70 at Jennings Station Road, there is road construction. The right lane is closed. There's a short backup, and the rest of your bridge approaches look like this. Westbound 5570 to Poplar Street Bridge, everything is flowing freely this hour. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank all the way onto Laclede's Landing, everything is running smoothly. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Commerce Bank. Take care of those home improvements with a home equity loan from Commerce Bank. A home equity loan with a great rate, great for college tuition or home improvements. Commerce Bank, equal housing lender. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. Partly cloudy skies today, a high in the lower 90s this evening, partly cloudy with a low around 70. For Tuesday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the lower 90s as well. Tuesday evening, pretty much the same, partly cloudy skies with a low in the lower 70s. Then on Wednesday, hot and humid, partly cloudy skies with a high in the mid to upper 90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 82 degrees under hazy, cloudy conditions. Lambert Field is reporting 80 and clouds with haze. Stay tuned for another hour of the award-winning Wake Up Call with your host, Liz Brown. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The Healthy Family, presented by the Missouri Division of Alcohol and Drug Abuse, reminding you to keep alcohol out of the hands of kids. Learn more at MissouriPrevention.org.
We've been told over and over again about fireworks safety. That's because serious injuries can result when we shoot off fireworks ourselves. Accidents do happen, and children are the most vulnerable. If a child suffers a fireworks eye injury, here's what to do. Cover the eye with the bottom of a foam cup or something else to keep the child from touching it, then take the child to an emergency room. Here's what not to do. Do not rub the eye because that can increase bleeding and make the injury worse. Do not try to rinse out the eye. Do not apply pressure to the eye itself. Do not stop for medication. Aspirin can be dangerous for kids, and ibuprofen can thin the blood, increasing bleeding. Do not apply ointment because it might not be sterile, and it makes it slippery and harder for the doctor to examine. I'm Julie Anderson with the Healthy Family.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell the brother. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can this end?
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for
was shot and was killed tonight. Remember? I will never say that progress is being made. If you took a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, stop
for the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man: tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. My email is Liz Brown, or no, let's do it this way, revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. That is, LIZZBROWN at SBCGlobal.net. That's LIZZBROWN. That's two Z's in my name. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. And let us begin. Normally, I would try to save this. I would try to resist this until Friday. But I think I'm gonna share this with you because it is so crazy. It is so crazy. It's an article by Bob Herbert, editorial, if you will, by Bob Herbert. Cruel and unusual, he writes. Bob Herbert said on last week, "Have you no sense of decency, sir, at long last?" This is what Joseph Welch asked in his famous confrontation with the pathologically cruel Joe McCarthy. Have you left no sense of decency? More than a half century later, I would ask the same question of Florida's Governor Jeb Bush. In an abuse of power that has been widely denounced and has even appalled many of his own supporters in the Republican Party, Jeb Bush has tried to keep the Terry Schiavo circus alive by sending state prosecutors on a witch hunt against her husband, Michael. The state attorney, who has been pushed by the governor into pursuing this case, told Bob Herbert yesterday he has seen nothing to indicate that a crime was committed. Nevertheless, the inquiry continues. Bob Herbert writes, Governor Bush asked Bernie McCabe, the state attorney for Pinellas County, to, quote, take a fresh look, end quote, at this already exhaustively investigated case to determine, amongst other things, whether Michael Schiavo had perhaps waited too long to call for help after discovering that his wife had collapsed one morning 15 years ago. The Attorney General did not seem particularly enthusiastic about his mission. I wouldn't call it an investigation, he said. The word investigation is a term of art in my business. He then explained, when I conduct an investigation, it would mean that I have a criminal predicate. In other words, I have some indication that a crime has occurred. That's my job. In this circumstance, that does not exist at this time. So what I'm attempting to do is to respond to the governor's request by conducting what I'm calling an inquiry to see if I can resolve the issues he has raised. The attorney general then chuckled at his use of the word inquiry. It may be a distinction without a difference, he said. Whatever term is used, the governor's continued pursuit of Mr. Schiavo in absence of any evidence that he has done anything wrong is a clear example of government power being used as a club to punish someone for political reasons. The unwarranted harassment of any ordinary citizen by the most powerful political figure in his state is an affront to the very idea of freedom that Bush and his brother in the White House are so fond of preaching. Bob Herbert goes on to say that the political exploitation of this tragic case has been uniquely grotesque. Ms. Schiavo died March 31st following a court order removal of her feeding tube, and an autopsy supported Mr. Schiavo's contention that his wife had been in a persistent vegetative state. She was unaware of anything and incapable of recovering. At her death at 41 years of age, Ms. Schiavo's withered brain was half the size the normal size of a woman her age. Bob Herbert goes on to say that Governor Bush was one of the leaders of the pack of politicians who vehemently opposed Mr. Schiavo's effort to have his wife's feeding tube removed. Much of what was said was outrageous. 11 days before she died, Tom DeLay declared, quote, Terry Schiavo is not brain dead. She talks, she laughs, she expresses happiness and discomfort. Terry Schiavo is not on life support. I guess he saw her driving a car, too. That was me. That wasn't in the article. Bob Herbert goes on to say, Senator Tom Corbin, a Republican and physician from Oklahoma, said, all you have to do is look at her on TV. Any doctor with a conscience can look at her and know that she does not have a terminal disease and know that she has some function. So all of the time, and I just have to take a break here, all of the time that you all have spent going to see your doctor, it's been a waste of time, according to this doctor. All you have to do is videotape yourself, and your doctor can diagnose what ails you. All your doctor has to do is look at a videotape and diagnose something like a terminal disease. And diagnose whether or not you have the appropriate function. And apparently diagnosis involves a conscience in order to diagnose. This stuff is crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Bob Herbert goes on to say, all agree that Terry Schiavo is now dead. But Governor Bush keeps the craziness going. Mr. Schiavo has said over the years that his wife collapsed around 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the morning and that he quickly called 911. He has always stressed that he was making a rough estimate about the time. His call to 911 was recorded at 5:40 a.m. Quick, try to remember with any precision the exact time of a traumatic incident that happened to you or a relative 10 or 15 years ago. Not only is it difficult to do, but the degree of precision deteriorates as the years pass. Governor Bush's continued pursuit of Mr. Schiavo is not just pointless, it's cruel and unconscionable. Bob Herbert concludes with this. I press the state attorney. If there is no evidence that a crime has been committed, then what is the purpose of the inquiry? My purpose, said the state attorney, is simply to respond to the governor. The governor has asked me to do something, and I'm going to do it. Look at where our lives have been taken. Look at where government is going. I brought out the case of Franklin Graham to show that the nut doesn't fall far from the tree. I bring up the example of Jeb Bush to continue that conversation and to continue that observation. The fact that this would occur to a human being is shocking. The fact that a human being would act on this idea is reprehensible. The fact that the person that is acting on this sick and twisted impulse against acting in the capacity of a governor against a citizen that doesn't have the means to fight back is beyond belief and is what you spank your child for if they engage in that behavior on the playground. Bullying, cruel behavior, and just general meanness is something that we try to educate and encourage our children out of. Terry Schiavo, I guess, is not dead. She has been dug up out of the ground and in a way that is most foul, or as Bob Herbert said, most grotesque. People are now, they were crawling up on the body of her brain-dead body and riding their political ambitions home. Now they've dug her up, and they're riding her dead body towards their political ambitions. Ugly, foul, ugly, foul, ugly, 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 foul beyond belief. And there is not a mama or daddy alive who, if their grown child was behaving in this way in front of all their friends and they were opposed to it, that wouldn't have picked up the phone and smacked them across the airwaves and said, you better stop because I raised you better than that. That's what a mama and a daddy who disagreed with a foul act like this, they would say, I raised you better than this. Leave that woman alone. It's done. And the fact that Jeb Bush has sent this prosecutor, this state attorney, on this ghoulish witch hunt, this digging up the body of Terry Schiavo, the fact that he continues on in his journey means that neither Babs or George the First has called their son and smacked him across the earwaves, and said, stop it. I've raised you better than this. Leave it alone. The fact that he's doing it means they haven't done it. And the fact that they haven't done it tells you volumes about this family and about how far they're willing to go, how far they're willing to dig and what they're willing to exhume to their own advantage. This is despicable. This is a despicable, foul thing. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get to me. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's my long-distance number, my local number. It's 1-314-454-0400. Email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. Gary.
Yes, Liz. If Terri Schiavo was indeed murdered, as most Americans think she was, shouldn't this continue on?
Okay, before I answer that question, allow me a few other questions
first. Right, go ahead.
Where did you get your information that most Americans, more than 50% of Americans, first of all, care, and then secondly, most agree that she was murdered? Where'd you get that information from?
By our elections.
Okay, so you saw on the election ballot, in addition to who to vote for president, was Terri Schiavo murdered, and that's when people checked the box?
Right. Well,
Where are you calling from?
May I tell you, say here's that look.
Is the word Malcolm Bliss in the address of where you're calling from?
May I tell you something?
What is that?
The Democrats are going to continue to lose elections because they don't understand. They don't get it. Your philosophy, you're saying, I don't get it. We'll keep losing elections. We'll keep losing the White House. We'll lose the Congress, but I don't get it.
Am I a Democrat?
I don't know.
Well, you're liberal. Very much so. Very, 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 very much.
Oh,
I am very. You know what the word liberal means? It means free.
Go ahead, though.
It means free.
Okay.
You didn't know that. Let me go back. Now
Sure.
Let's go back. Your assessment of Democrats is that they don't get it, but you have just called and said that on the ballot was a box to check of whether or not you believe that Terri Schiavo was murdered.
No, you said that.
No, well, I'm asking you, where did you get your... You said, when I asked you the question of where did you get your numbers from that Terri Schiavo, that most Americans believe that Terri Schiavo was murdered, you said the election.
Do you want my definition of that? By people voting in a good, strong, conservative Congress and president, they voted against the murders of people like Terri Schiavo.
Crazy. That is just madness. That is absolute madness.
That craziness.
You got that right. Craziness is in there. You absolutely got that right. That you would conclude that based upon an election for the presidency that people agreed that Terri Schiavo is murdered. That's crazy.
Well,
that is absolutely crazy. We got to take a break, folks. This is Liz Brown and the Wake Up Call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-0400 is my phone number. Whoo, we have much to do. We have much, much, much to tend to. Madness.
Yes, just madness. You. It is your sweet conversation that brings this sensation. Oh, love, yes, just the nearness of you.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@wgnu.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
I heard about this company dumping toxins in local rivers, and I called their executives to say stop, but I never got through to anyone except secretary after secretary. In the meantime, the rivers are being destroyed, birds and fish are dying, and the local kids are getting sick with cancer. So I organized a huge protest, and we actually got the company shut down. And everyone starts celebrating until we realize that half the town's now unemployed. The welfare offices can barely handle the overload. People are being kicked out of their homes. And to top it all off, the rivers are still contaminated. The birds and fish are still dying. And most of the kids with cancer are twice as sick because they can't get the health care they need since their parents lost the health insurance they had when they worked for the company that dumped all the toxins in the first place.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. And just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
Charles Gear and Lori Fulkerson provide a sounding board. Anywhere there's a computer, log on at WGNU.net.
Looking for time made just for you? Wanting to hear from some young people who are cool and well-informed? Have some questions adults just can't seem to answer? There is a place for you on WGNU Radio. Tune in Sunday nights at 5:30. You'll hear teens talk about stuff teens understand. Find out about the latest in music, sports, and other issues that matter. Finally, a talk show for teens, about teens, by teens on 9:20 a.m. 5:30 Sunday nights. Sponsored by the St. Charles Lawanga Center.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Welcome back to the wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Miss Brown. It's amazing. I wasn't going to call today, but that guy gave my blood pressure a shot. 50% of the people believe that Ms. Chavo
was murdered.
Chavo. What 50%?
No, over 50%, because more than half of Americans believe this.
Who are these people?
Nobody. No, I want to see who would take a survey like that. And secondly, I want to see the results of that. If the state attorney says, I don't know whether, I don't believe that Terry Chavo was murdered, then what kind of Americans would conclude that if the guy whose job it is to investigate is saying, I don't think she was murdered, why would Americans think any differently?
Well, let me tell you how frightening it is to me. How would you like to be in trouble and know when they pick your jury that 50% of the people made decisions like that without any proof?
Wow.
I mean, well, isn't that scary?
That you certainly don't want to go to trial on that day.
When I hear guys talk like this, I mean, if there's 50% of people out there form opinions without
any proof.
Over 50%. This is frightening to me. I think, well, I guess you can't fix stupid, and this country must really be in bad shape mentally. Who are these people? Are they born-again Christians? Are they Germans? Are they Nazis? Are they Americans? Who are they?
You know, I just think that these are people that are incredibly partisan, blindly partisan, and blindly, these are people that are willing to accept leadership without question. They are people that are willing to, that they have gained advantage by this. They're looking at politics like a sporting event, that our team has won, then that means that we're the best, and that means we get to make the decisions regardless of how the decisions impact on people, and that's not what politics is supposed to be about. That's not what politics is. Politics is not a sporting event because somebody's on the other side of a decision that we do not have to pay attention to global warming at all. There are people and lives on the other side of that decision. It's not just your opinion. It's just not your belief that you are in control. The decisions that are made have to be made based on logic, have to be made based on fairness, have to be made based upon our budget, have to be made absent partisan desire for advantage. And none of that's not how decisions are being made right now.
My ideal of a true American is one that questions everything, whether
questions
you're a Democrat
authority.
Or Republican.
Absolutely.
You investigate as much to your ability as you can, and you don't take any statement on fact. You investigate it as much as you can.
Thanks for your
And
time.
Then, like I said, I always say, I believe everything and I believe nothing. In other words, I believe what I'm reading, but I don't necessarily believe it.
There are things that you can find out the answers to. There are answers to questions out there. We can't get to the place where there isn't an answer for anything. Sure, there is. Some of the answers are very hard. Some of the answers require a lot of work. Some of the answers mean that some people are going to have to suffer. But the fact of the matter is that the decision of Jeb Bush to go after this husband of Terri Schiavo is a decision that is based not on law, that's not based on fact, that is not based, it's only based on one thing and one thing only, to gain political advantage.
I'll let
period.
You go, but I could not believe what I was hearing. I thought, I can't believe anybody would make a statement like that.
Thanks for your call.
Thanks, son.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And when you look at the pattern, and again, I started with Graham. The son of, Franklin Graham, the son of Billy Graham this morning, when he talked about how the religion, that Islam is an evil religion, that Islam attacked America on 9/11, that their God is not a good God, that it's an evil religion, and I talked about how the son comes from the father. And we need to be very concerned about sons that are willing to go out there and to say such horrible things without condemnation from their father and a pulling back from their fathers. And there is a pattern that can be established based on a family's practices, what they have been taught. Jebediah Bush has said, I am willing to go after Michael Schiavo without any evidence, or without any facts, based upon my emotions, based upon my desire for political advantage, and contrary to the assessments of experts. Does that sound familiar to anybody out there? George W. Bush pursued Iraq for the same reasons, without any evidence, without any facts, based upon emotions, and based upon a political agenda and desire, and against the evidence and the testimony of experts. Then little nuts don't fall far from the tree. And there's no parent out there that is raining these unruly children, these bad, bad boys, these bad babies, back and saying, are you crazy? I raised you better than that. This is wrong. Stop it. I know if I got a phone call from my daddy about something that I was doing out in the public where everybody can see you, and he told me to stop, I would stop. Now, my bottom lip might be stuck out, but I would stop. And they haven't. I guess maybe the Bushes don't have phones. Mom and Daddy Bush don't have phones where they are. Liz Brown is my name. This show is The Wake Up Call. The number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me. You're on The Wake Up Call.
Yes, Liz. You know, they just had a new poll the Smyrna, 54% of the American people believe the insurgents are holding their own, or it's a stalemate. 24% believe they're winning. Only 21% think the U.S. is winning the war. 78% say it's either a stalemate or that we're losing the war. And you know, all this talk about Mrs. Schiavo, who could not see or hear and did not even know she was alive. If the Republicans worried about the living like they do about the unborn or the dead, we'd be in good shape. And just look at what the rivers of the warm blood, 15,000 U.S. casualties in Iraq, 100,000 civilians, the rivers of warm blood flowing over there in that 125-degree heat. That don't sound like pro-life to me, Liz.
Thanks for your
war
call.
Is a horrible, horrible thing, and anyone who finds consolation in it is not doing what any religion taught. And Liz, I was always taught that the Islam, the Muslims believe in the God of Abraham, the same God that Christians and Jews also believe in.
Thank you very much. 454-0400 is my phone number. Interesting. There is an article coming out of the Independent UK, written by a man by the name of Rupert Cornwell. This is a title, a headline that you wouldn't see in American newspapers. And the title, the headline reads, Beleaguered Bush Struggles to Reverse Tide of Pessimism Over in Iraq. Beleaguered Bush struggles to reverse tide of pessimism over Iraq. Now, you won't see that headline here, but you hear about it on a wake-up call. As new violence ripped through Iraq, Bush insisted yesterday that he has a plan to defeat the insurgency that now threatens to trap the U.S. in a war without end. Bush used his weekly radio address to prepare the way for a major speech tomorrow at Fort Bragg, in which he hopes to reverse the tide of public pessimism and disillusion on the course of the Iraq War. The speech marks the first anniversary of the return to sovereignty and to an Iraqi government. The strategy that Bush will set out next week is twofold. Here's his strategy, y'all. And it's a PR strategy. Stepped up training of Iraqi forces to handle their own security, and continuing the progress towards the establishment of a new democracy. A new constitution is expected to be drafted by August 15th. That deadline looks unlikely to be met, but U.S. officials fear that a long delay would only play into the hands of the insurgency. So what's the plan again? I'm sorry, but what's the plan again? You're going to step up training? Huh? Isn't that about stepped up as we got? I mean, we put billions of dollars into the training. They keep leaving and joining the other side and taking their weapons with them. What's the stepped up part of that? Whew, I'm Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. We got to take a break here. Stepped up. Woo, 1 year after this, after sovereignty is restored, 1 year after, we've had 34 women that have been killed in Iraq, soldiers. But it's all good, right? I'm Liz Brown. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Oh, mercy, mercy me. All things and what they used to be lost, oil wasted on the oceans and upon our seas, fish full of mercury.
Hi, this is James Wade.
I'm inviting you to get aboard the Glory Bound train every Saturday night from 8 p.m. until 9 p.m. right here over radio station WGNU, traveling down track AM 920. Join us. You'll be glad you did.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline, Washington. The Passport Division of the State Department is planning joint cooperation with the Terrorist Screening Center to provide information on American citizens who are, quote, considered persons of concern due to a nexus to terrorism or an ongoing investigation. The Terrorist Screening Center operates under the umbrella of the FBI and keeps an updated watch list of people believed to be linked to terror operations. So, if you apply for a passport, you will be checked against a database of names which contains some 50,000 fugitives from justice, as well as 3 million deadbeat parents who owe child support. Homeland Security wants the current policy to move in the direction of the European Union and include fingerprints in passports as a mandatory biometric check. In addition, the department wants the fingerprints of all your fingers to be registered, because using only two fingers will start to trigger false positives because of the sheer size of the database that they're pulled from. And Dateline New York. Were you aware that you might be paying more than you should if you purchase something overseas with a credit card? Card companies are making extra profits from a foreign currency conversion fee, and they could be hitting you for as much as an extra 3% on each foreign transaction. The charge card companies have a 1% fee for converting your foreign purchase to American dollars. But a lot of them are also adding a 2% charge on top of that for no reason other than to gouge their customers. What's worse is that the card companies rarely list the conversion fees on the statements. They simply add them into the transaction prices listed on the bills. Financial experts recommend you investigate thoroughly whether or not your charge company imposes the extra 2% fee, because there are some out there that do not. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. New state-of-the-art technology has made it possible to offer copies of programs heard on WGNU to the listening audience at a lower cost. If there is a specific program you are interested in having for your personal library, we can now make it available to you at a cost of $25 per hour. Please make a check or money order payable to WGNU Radio, 265 Union, St. Louis, 63108. Please specify the time, day, and particular topic, and allow 10 days delivery. All program recordings are subject to availability.
There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area which we call
the party line. With Steve Franklin, Monday mornings from 10 a.m. to noon.
Come talk to me. Come talk to me.
Do they play jazz in heaven? In New Orleans, we know they do.
If your family hasn't been to New Orleans, y'all haven't lived. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com to plan your trip to Six Flags New Orleans, Audubon Zoo, Aquarium of the Americas, and more. Hop on the new canal streetcar line, see gators up close, and roll in a riverboat down the mighty Mississippi. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com today for great hotel rates and a free good times guide with more than $2,400 in coupons. And jazz up your family's next vacation in New Orleans.
You know, if there's a paradise, it's an afternoon in Jackson Square. Cause if they play jazz in heaven, darling, it's standing room only up there.
NewOrleansOnline.com.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
All we need
Oh, welcome back. Welcome back. We need a little bit more. A little bit more on peace of mind. We got some work to do out here. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. A year has passed. A year has passed. A year has passed since we have not tried to. A year has passed after sovereignty has been restored, so they say. How many times were there car bombings? 479 times. A third of the attacks were followed by the naming of a new Iraqi government. From April 28th through June 23rd, there were at least 160 vehicle bombings that killed 580 people, wounded at least 1,700. For the year from the handover of sovereignty on the 28th of June 2004 until 23rd of June 2005, 479 car bombings killing 2,107 people, 74 people wounding 5,520. Altogether, insurgents have killed at least 1,200 people since the government of Prime Minister Al-Jafari took over on April 28th. 77 car bombs in May, killing 370 people, wounding 896. Last month was the most violent for Iraqi civilians since the U.S.-led invasion began in 2003. As Iraqi and U.S. military officials went over plans for a recent sweep in Baghdad, they made a rather startling discovery. Rather than assembling car bombs outside the capital, insurgents were fitting the cars with explosives at workshops inside the city itself. Victor, calling from New Jersey. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Ms. Brown.
How are you?
And also, I've been able to listen to your show on Right Rose Society.
Isn't that great?
Every morning.
Isn't that
a great thing?
It's a
highlight of my life and of my evening and also of other people, too. And we won't rest until your voice is heard everywhere.
That's what I'm talking about.
With that said, the problem that I have is the 41% of the people who still believe everything is okay. You know, and that says a lot right there. The 41% who believe that there's nothing going wrong. You've had calls, and I've heard them, of people who basically live in a total delusion, you know, who don't even realize, some people, I think, don't even realize that we're still at war with Iraq. You know, but the fact is, the scary part is that they're saying now we cannot pull out. Even though this has all happened, they're trying to frame their argument that we can't pull out because they know that this country will go into a civil war at that point in time. So they were told pleaded, do not go into Iraq. Do not go into Iraq. You cannot win this. There's no exit plan, nothing. Even if you've ever read The Art of War, I read this book again, and everything that we've done has been wrong in that book.
Contrary to what The Art of War is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, contrary. Everything. I'm looking at it. Page. Everything contrary to what they're saying, and that's a book that's taught in the war colleges.
And so, we're losing, right? So yes. The Art of War was proven right?
Yes. You know? Yes, look, my thing is, and I think you said this too, I don't think that people will finally get it until we are at the abyss, we are at the edge, we're down to the bottom of the very lowest bottom of the barrel before most people will finally say, I think there's a problem. But that's it. Thank you very much.
Victor, thank you so much. Keep listening.
Thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. Here are the numbers. Here are the stats. 1 year later. 1,731 U.S. soldiers, 88 British soldiers, 93 from other nations have been killed since March 2003. Up to 4,895 Iraqi soldiers and 22,000 civilian soldiers have been killed since the invasion. 92% of Baghdad households have unstable electricity supplies. 39% have no safe drinking water. 25% of the children under the age of 5 suffer from malnutrition. Iraq is flush with materials for car bombings. Leftover stockpiles from what was once the world's fourth largest army supply, artillery shells and explosives, they've got them. Getting a car is even easier because no one asks for registrations, a driver's license, or paperwork of any kind. Only a couple of $1,000s in cash is required to buy one. Hundreds of thousands of cheap second-hand cars from Europe, the Persian Gulf, and Asia flooded into Iraq after our occupation. Many are shipped to the Jordanian part and then are driven overland to Iraq on with Jordanian help. What is George? What on earth is George W. Bush going to say when he looks us into the in the face? What's he going to say? It's hard work. What's he going to say? We're going to stay in there until 12, 15 years from now, like Rumsfeld said yesterday? And what's the we in that? What's the we part of that? Nobody in Rumsfeld's family is in that war, as far as I can tell. Nobody from George W. Bush's family is in there. What's the we in that? We're going to stay there? Ain't no we in that. This is crazy. This is crazy. We're going to stay there. What is George W. Bush going to tell us tomorrow? I tell you what, I'm going to have some sound bites from it. I know that much. Car phone, quickly.
Hey, how you doing, Liz?
Outstanding.
I was listening to what your last caller said, but one thing that a lot of people don't realize is that that country, everybody that tried to occupy that country has lost. And every time that they get into an open battle, they might lose, but the main thing is to get you into the city where they can plant the bombs and everything like that and get you into a guerrilla warfare. And if you look at it, that's what most of the countries from Vietnam and everybody else.
They said, they said, come on in. We got this. Thanks for your call. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. I'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Stay strong.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Joan Bennett. Supreme Court weighs in on the culture wars in the final day of its term, ruling 5-4 that the Ten Commandments have no place in court. ABC's Vic Ratner.
A sharply divided Supreme Court rules the Ten Commandments may not be displayed in courthouses. The court's opinion, written by Justice David